drink, and the devil had done with the rest. Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum. The mate was fixed by a bosun's pipe. The bosun rang with a marlin spike, and Cookie's throat was marked belied. He had been gripped by fingers ten, and there they lay, all good dead men, by break of day in a bosun ken. Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum.
15 men of a whole ship's list.
Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum.
Dead and be damned, and the rest gone whist.
Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum.
We had to start over.
Start over.
Yeah. It's a do-over. Like, a mulligan.
Be like, look, Dirk. All right. I'm going to solve this real easily. And then just...
Yeah, well, it's too late now.
Cold cock me right out of the chair. And then be like, welcome, folks, to another episode of Comaholics.
This is episode 16, right?
16.
We are here at Comaholics HQ.
Right.
And, you know, just before we got started, we're talking about the coaster situation here.
Right.
How there was a bit of
a
coaster issue.
I have a feeling that there's a freebie coming up here.
Which is coasters!
Oh, wow. Marvel. Uncanny X-Men.
So flip it over. And it's Wolverine and the X-Men.
Very nice.
These were... Okay, here's the deal. They sent out these promotional coasters to comic book stores. Uncanny X-Men on one side, Wolverine the X-Men on the other. Right? Our store, zip. We got none of these. Not a single one of these came to our store. Went over to another store in town where a guy I used to work with works at that store now.
He's supposedly bragging about the coasters.
And they got like these two giant sleeves of them.
Oh,
so like he puts them out on the shelf and he's like, "I'm never going to get rid of these things." And I was like, "Oh, really? Chunk. Okay, well, half of them are gone now." But
wow.
So I thought I'd bring over a big chunk here for
Comaholics
HQ.
Well, you know what? Do you recognize those coasters?
Well, these are the dice coasters
that you guys got us
for
forever ago.
Was it for Christmas, or was it just because you always had us at your house?
I don't remember.
Because we used to play all the D&D stuff.
Yeah, we used to party till the cows came home.
So, now you've got new coasters.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to use them now. Here.
So, yay!
Wow. Very, very fitting for the comic.
Wait, I can't be on the Cyclops side. I got to flip over to the Wolverine side.
Oh, yeah, Cyclops. I don't know about him lately.
So.
Favorite.
All right, ladies and joims. Today on the show, we do have the three things we're going to talk about.
Right.
Which, you know, of course, we always have segment one, which we talk about the books we're currently reading and the whatnot and the other things. But then we're going to talk about Deadpool Max today, which is something we promised we were going to talk about, like, two episodes ago.
We put it off because we were covering 52. All 52.
Right. We were doing all the DC number ones, and it put us in a position where, we were just doing too much stuff, and we killed too much time, and we just couldn't, we didn't feel like we could do it justice. We'd been up so late and so long at that point, so...
Yeah, I was tired. That was a very taxing show.
This is, like, our longest show ever. And we do some long shows here on Comaholics. But, so we're going to finally get to Deadpool Max tonight. And then we're also going to talk about the first trade of Invincible, Volume 1. And then we're also going to talk about the first Ultimate FF hardcover. So.
I think you just said the order, too.
Oh, you want to do them in that order?
Yeah, I think that is the order.
You
want to
do Deadpool Max, then Invincible, and then Ultimate FF?
Yeah,
uh-huh. Okay.
As I'm, like, scrambling through the tablet here to pull up a... Ooh, there we go. By the way, I love tablets. They're so choice.
Well, we'll talk about reading comics on a tablet when we get to Invincible, because that'll play into that story a little bit. But for right now, as we are wont to do with segment one, why don't you go ahead and talk about some of the stuff you've read recently, some of your issues. Do you have a giant stack of...
Well,
usually I have a stack of like 50 books, and you want to talk about every single one of them.
I want everybody to know what I'm doing. No, I didn't read it.
That is another big stack.
Another pretty big stack. All right.
That's what she said.
Avengers Academy.
Yep.
Are you current?
I'm current.
How do you feel about the whole Magneto, Quicksilver,
I was fine.
Did you notice that Vale isn't even in the last one at all? Like, they just, like, got rid of her.
Okay, here's my thing with what's going on in Avengers Academy. I like the idea of saying, okay, originally we just had these kids who were the ones most likely to turn evil, and now we're just going to open it up to anybody. So it's anybody who wants training.
But what's funny is all these kids have gone through all this physical and emotional trauma, and, like, at the end of, like, the last three issues, they keep addressing, like, oh, these kids are going to crack. We better ease it up on them. And then the next issue, it's like them, like, duking it out with Captain America, you know, Magneto, Storm.
I thought that the last...
Not Storm.
Rogue? Was it?
I don't remember.
Anyway. But, yeah, I felt like the last few issues, or the last issue specifically, where they have that big fight with the X-Men and everything, I just thought that was kind of stupid. You know, it was just a little too forced. That it's, mm-hmm. you know, anytime you've got two teams together and then suddenly somebody's like, oh, I misunderstood what you said. I must fight.
It was,
you know?
It was like a professional wrestling or something.
Very much. Which, you know, generally I might go for.
Right.
But this time I just felt it was a little silly. So.
Okay, so there's that one.
But yeah, overall I'm still digging the series and I like expanding the cast.
Yeah, what do you feel about the teacher? They got the... Is Quicksilver now a teacher, too?
He was always a teacher.
Okay, there's another one they just added. Who is it?
Hawkeye,
that's it. Yeah. It's just kind of silly.
The reason why Hawkeye works is because Hawkeye started out as a villain.
Right.
And he became an Avenger.
Right.
And they're trying to keep them Avengers and not have them turn into villains.
Sure.
So he fits that certain
And then there was no result character. In the end of it. Like, you know, Magneto supposedly, like, is, you know, trying to read their, you know... No, she's going over Jocasta's, like,
right.
body, like, trying to find out
he can't figure out exactly what it is. So all of that happened for really no reason.
Right.
Except to
And
say,
wasn't Storm there, too? Because she was there to, like, read their minds?
No, Emma Frost,
that's right.
Right. Because she's part of that
Enough
X-Men
of that. Team. Okay, a little controversy here on this next one. I even called up Dirt to complain about it. So what am I going to talk about here?
That is Fantastic Four 600. I think we should preface this by saying Jonathan Hickman took over Fantastic Four, and when he took over is when we both started reading it monthly.
Right.
I had read it here and there in little bits and pieces. I don't know if you were even familiar with it before then.
No.
But
other than some like old Golden Age stuff I might have read.
But know. Or Silver Age, maybe.
Or Silver Age.
But when he came on and started writing it, we both started reading it, and we both loved it and loved everything he did on that book. And so you and I were both like, this is the greatest series ever. The way he subtly structures things, he teases things out for a while.
And it was complex, but not too, like... You know, because Fantastic Four, there have been... You know, you could really expound on, like, all the science and technology that's going on. You know, Hickman still dabbles into, you know, that in his writing, but at the same time kind of brings it back to Earth and makes it simple.
And he
and
did
fun.
All that stuff with the Four Cities War and all the stuff with Sue Storm becoming a diplomat for the underwater city. And
right.
He had a lot of stuff going on. Then they had the whole Human Torch.
Well, before that, don't forget the kids.
The alien kids
and, like, you know, the kids are starting to, like, develop powers. And
I was okay with most of that, but...
And then it leads into...
But then, you know, the big thing was the Human Torch died in, like, what, March?
Right.
Or something?
Well, left for dead.
Well, died. I'm doing finger quotes here. He died.
Yeah.
And there was, of course, a big deal about
it. Isn't it the negative zone or something?
Yeah, wherever Annihilus had his base. But anyway, he quote-unquote died. It was, you know, USA Today, Wall Street Journal, Entertainment Tonight, you know, big deal. All the different variant covers and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And... Here we are, not even at the end of the year in which he died, and this big, momentous 600 issue comes out.
100 pages.
$8.
Yeah.
And what happens in the end of the book? Oh, Human Torch is alive.
Not the end. It's like...
Well, it's the end of the main story, and then you've got a bunch of backup stories. But yeah, Human Torch, oh, he didn't die. Because you never actually saw him die, you just saw him fighting, and he shut the portal, and they overran him.
And basically what has happened is, so he went supernova a couple times after he closed the doors behind him and sealed off the entrance back to Earth from his end, and whatever he was, negative zone type parallel universe. Anyways, so he goes supernova a couple times, totally kicks these bad guys' butts for a little while, and then eventually he's tired and he gets overcome, and he's sent off to, like, fight in an arena to death for the amusement of Annihilus. And he's healed by these bugs. These, like, electronic bugs that, like, eat up inside
of
him.
Okay, well, make a long story short, they turn him into RoboCop.
I guess what I'm getting at, and what I'm getting at is it's like, and, like, he dies over and over again, too, in battle.
And it keeps coming back to life.
Yes. And that makes it almost even more ridiculous. That he's dying and coming back to life and dying and coming back to life. It's like, really? I mean, are they going to, like, wave, you know, rub the redundancy in our faces? It's just, I'm disappointed.
It's one of those things...
I'm disappointed.
It's one of those things where... everything that had to do with his death now doesn't matter.
Right.
You know? They hit the reset, they went back to where it was, and it just kind of makes me feel like I've wasted all this time on these stories because they just undid it,
right.
You know? Like, it's almost not, worth the time it took to read it. I feel betrayed. I feel betrayed by the fact that suddenly, like I said, it's not even a year later and he's back. You know, it's not like, certain characters like Colossus was dead a couple years and he came back and I hated it, but, you know, a couple years had passed and this is... Not even, like, 10 months later, he's back.
Now, they tried to split up a couple side stories and kind of go back into Johnny Storm and what he's dealing with in this parallel universe. And
they're also getting ready to launch... like
an all-out war.
Well, no, I was going to say, they have FF going.
Right.
And now they're going to go back to doing Fantastic Four, so they're going to have two books a month.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and forth between FF and Fantastic Four. And all I have to say is I'm going back to not buying... Fantastic Four anymore. I'm not going to buy FF. I'm not buying Fantastic Four. I'm done with... sorry, Hickman, but, you know, you betrayed the readers. You shattered my trust in you, and so I'm not buying your books anymore. I'm done. I'm done with FF.
Dirt
I'm done with
is
Fantastic
hurt.
Four.
I am. Deeply wounded.
I am.
I haven't heard you be so passionate about changes lately. Even through, like, Flashpoint... And the whole 52 reset, this is the most I've heard you complain about a title.
Well, because I didn't mind a lot of the stuff going on with, you know, Flashpoint and the whole 52 thing. Like, I kind of understand why they had to do it, so whatever.
Well, my train of thought is, what is this resolving? You know, what has come out of issue 600? Because in my mind, it does feel like a reset. It feels like, you know, all of the... storylines and sub-storylines between Ben and his grief of Johnny dying. How is that going to be addressed now? It's just kind of... And it was like a dynamic change for Ben, and now it's not anymore. I don't know. Yeah. So. Okay.
So that's... I'm done with FF.
Two of the stack we've gone through so
we've
far.
We've gone through two and we're 12 minutes into the
Justice
show.
League number 3?
Yep.
What'd you think?
I still like it. I still like how they're doing it.
Wonder Woman is B.A.
Wonder Woman...
They're making her, like, as strong as Superman.
Well, and she should be. Like, she's supposed to be the female equivalent of Superman, and she never has been. I mean, that's what they want her to be, and they keep touting her as, but they've never been able to pull
it
off.
And I love the part where, like, Superman's just, like, swinging a bus around like a baseball bat.
Yeah, he just picks it up and just... He doesn't care if he hurts.
No.
Like, these are bad guys, and so the bad guys have got to go down one way or another. Mm-hmm. Screw it. If he kills them, he kills them. Time to fight. Battle.
How about Deadpool, which is... I now believe in you when you say that this is tailoring off into nothingness.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I can see it's... Talk about redundancy, okay? You know, now Deadpool's fighting the chopped up, leftover body parts of himself that have turned into evil Deadpool. And, you know, evil Deadpool is just... uninhibited and more, you know, evil than the Deadpool, and he's got his, you know, sub boxes of his different personalities on the different pages, but and it's all in black.
You know, I have to say though, I kind of like the story.
You like this story?
I kind of like the story. I like the idea of there
being... Oh, he's got a reverse arm. He's shooting backwards while he's running away from me.
I enjoy the ludicrousness of it.
It is...
Like, the whole point...
It
that,
is ridiculous.
That this chick saved these random body parts because she was in love with Deadpool, and the body parts just decided to fuse together and turn into a new Deadpool. Like, there's just something about the ridiculous of it. And just the way, like, all the different... The plane crashing... In the, you know, the Hudson Bay, and them duking it out in the convenience store, and just like all the random, just craziness going on with. Oh, now you got to pull it out of your sleeve.
Yes.
Pull it out of the bag and take a look at it. Hey, I mean, if you don't dig it, it's, you know, no skin off my nose. But
I don't. I guess I just don't understand.
Because I think there's the whole dynamic of.
I like the part at the end where Cap's like, "Okay, Deadpool, you're done." That's it.
Oh, because he doesn't realize there's the
no more second chances, Deadpool. This is it. You know, he's busted. But you know what's going to happen next issue? Evil Deadpool's
right.
Gonna, like,
well, of course,
clobber.
But Cap. I mean, I think the dynamic of Deadpool's crazy
with
and
evil
borderline
Deadpool's crazy.
Yeah, borderline evil, and now there's this other Deadpool that's crazier and more evil because he's insane, made of all these leftover parts. So, I mean, I don't know. I just...
And, like, you know, the good Deadpool has to, like, try to think what evil Deadpool thinks good Deadpool's doing.
Right. And I like how the evil Deadpool body is wearing the old X-Men outfit that Deadpool made for himself. I thought that was a nice touch.
How did she get those body parts?
I don't know.
But she been stalking him for a long time?
Maybe.
Okay, how about the Avengers?
I remember... Oh, Vision comes back in this one, doesn't
Vision's
he?
Back, and originally tries to pick Chilla.
Oh, Black Panther.
Black Panther.
To Chihuahua.
But then, Chihuahua. But then he's like, oh, you really want my wife for this. So
yeah, so Storm now apparently is going to join the Avengers, which, oh, you know, doing the whole Wolverine 2-team thing, I guess. Spider-Man doing the two.
Well,
team
Vision
team.
Is an old
Ben Grimm doing
Avenger
the two team
too,
thing.
Isn't he? Vision.
Yeah, yeah. Vision's been around a very long time, so he's an android.
And then he brings on that like former SHIELD agent as well, with no superpowers or anything.
Oh right. The chick.
So that's basically the whole story. It's like him asking these
I'm,
people.
I was worried about all these B-listers they were going to bring on.
Right.
I'm not sold on Storm, but. Luckily, Black Panther didn't make
did
the
not,
cut.
Yeah.
You know, and
well, you said, you know, Black Panther's ending, right?
Right.
And I thought, oh well, that's what they're going to do. They're just going to move him into the Avengers, and then.
But apparently, they didn't get the word that Black Panther was ending when they wrote this. An Avengers. Maybe he'll come back and be like, oh, by the way,
I got a job. I got kicked out of Hell's Kitchen.
I got some alimony I got to pay. So you guys still hiring?
Old lady said I can't live there unless I got a job.
All right, what's the next one?
Flash.
Flash, good stuff.
Oh.
Although, did anything really happen in this issue?
Well, he learned more about his powers and what he can do as far as...
Oh, yeah, he landed the airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, being able to...
What else? There was... The main plot in this is...
Oh, they're chopping off his friend's body parts, and the body parts are growing into
that
the new...
That isn't actually even discussing this. This is when Century City and
oh, all the rogues.
City are out of power. Like, EMP,
right.
Like, destroys
because of Captain Atom.
Right.
And have you read Captain Atom?
Yes.
Okay. See, I haven't read the Captain Atom yet. I just saw the note that it crosses over.
And then there's the dude with no hands.
Right. But the rogues, they meet the rogues out in the desert. You see,
right.
Like, a... Toy Man and or Trickster,
and at the end,
oh, and the Flash. He thinks he's got it all figured out, and then he.
Yeah.
Well, see, I wonder. Barry has got to get everybody out so that he can turn into the Flash, right?
Right.
So he's looking.
Yeah.
He's looking at everything, and he says he's got it all figured out.
Pages before that, he's like, okay, you know, it's
right.
Like,
well,
we were talking about the last issue where he like breaks everything down in like a
right.
You know, split
so,
second.
So what I'm guessing is. He figured out how to move his head just right so the bullet will graze him. So everybody there is going to leave him for dead. Then he can turn into the Flash and take care of business.
Yeah, because you see, like, the sniper rifle.
Right.
Yeah, this is... I like the art.
Francis Manipal?
No, book.
Open it up to the. No, go to the credits page.
I think.
Story by. Where's the art? Art by Francis Manipal.
Yeah, it is Manipal too.
Because he's the same guy that did the old series.
Yes.
With Geoff Johns.
Yeah, I like that.
He's fantastic.
So, if you're not collecting the Flash, you should be collecting this. This is a lot of fun.
All right, we're about 20 minutes in.
Oh, okay.
Come on, let's do this. Let's do
okay,
this.
Okay, we don't need to talk about that one. Daredevil.
I'm not current on. Okay. Is it worth it?
I'm kind of lukewarm on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Because there's a new one coming out this week.
Is there?
Yeah. Okay. Which, by the way, we have access to now.
End of Spider Island?
I enjoyed Spider Island. Okay. It was fun. It was nothing, you know, too special spectacular, but I still enjoyed a lot of it.
Had a lot of hot covers with Mary Jane on it.
Yeah, well, and everybody got naked at the end.
Yes.
So that was cool.
New Guardians?
Haven't been reading it.
Okay.
Have you been reading all the Green Lantern stuff?
What am I reading? New Guardians, Green Lantern, Red Lanterns.
Are you reading Core?
And Core, yeah.
Core.
So am I missing any?
Green Lantern and Core are the only ones I've been reading.
Okay. I like them all.
I mean, New Guardians is the Kyle Rayner.
They all kind of tie into each other, too.
Well, they
nice.
Have to. Yeah. You know.
Psychopath, you're not reading this one?
I'm not current on it.
Ooh, this one's really brutal.
I don't know, the last one I read was the one where he
broke the dude's jaw.
Truck. He had the girl tied down and.
Okay, no, this is much, much worse.
Cross is one of those things where it's like, how could it possibly ever get worse? And then it does.
They do, yeah. He draws a line and then breaks a line and I can't even talk about it because, you know, we do have some young listeners. But yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Cross is from Avatar Publishing. It is their take on zombies, except in this universe, zombies are basically just driven by insanity, paranoia, brutality, sadomasochism.
In between the intermission, I'll tell you what he does to this guy.
I don't even want to know what he's going to do to that guy.
Yeah.
So it's really brutal and harsh, and every time you think they've done the worst thing they possibly can, they figure out something else that they can add to the mix.
All right.
Including a dolphin gets violated in an upcoming issue. Yeah.
All right, cool.
So.
Nightwing?
Here, actually, tell you what. You have Batman sitting there?
Yeah.
Do you read Deathstroke at all?
I read like
not
the
really
first one.
Okay. Batman, Nightwing, and Deathstroke are all doing very similar storylines, where someone is out to get them, like framing them for, you know, murder or calling them a murderer.
Being the bad guy when they're not really the bad guy, but they're the bad guy.
Yeah, kind of. And so someone was Ryan Porter, who does the Comics Corner, was saying how great Batman is.
But which Batman was he talking about?
But that issue.
Scott Snyder's.
That storyline. But I kind of think. I like the story in Nightwing better that's doing the same thing that's going on in Batman. The only thing that Batman really has going for it is the fact that it's building on the history of Gotham City.
Right, which is kind of reminds me of the Gates of Gotham.
Right, which was also from Scott Snyder. But I kind of like the way Nightwing's story is unfolding better than the way it's unfolding in Batman.
Okay,
because I think the way
I'm fond of both of them.
I mean, they're both good, but I also don't care a whole lot for the artwork in Batman.
I like this villain here, though, and yeah,
the
artwork. Okay, we talked about this too.
He's one of those people where every adult male who is quote unquote normal looks like a young Mr. Incredible from The Incredibles.
It reminds me of the Dark Knight cartoon,
but it's like every like there's a scene where he's in the hospital talking to the
other
dude.
Look at that chin.
Well, yeah.
Look at that chin.
Mean, the dude in the hospital bed and Bruce Wayne look exactly the same. They look exactly the same.
He just looks a little more Cro-Magnon.
Well, he's got a tube in his face. That's how you know he's a different dude.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean...
Yeah, I don't care that much. I'm you know what? The last issue... You mentioned it before I read the last one. I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of see it. And this one, I really see it. But I do like the story. That's why I'm conflicted.
I just think collecting. I like it better in Nightwing.
I do, too. I like Nightwing. What about The Last Walking Dead? Issue 91. Can you believe it's 91 now?
Just talking to the hat.
Whew. I think I picked up on, like, 68. Hmm. And then I had to go back and collect the rest.
I think 66 is when my letter was printed. So 65 or 66. But regardless.
What do you think of this?
It's another one where not a whole lot happened, except that now it looks like Andrea is going crazy like Rick did.
Ooh, yeah, she's making out.
She's talking to the hat like Rick used to talk to the telephone. Except she, I think, understands a little bit better that she's going crazy.
Right.
But you are getting a lot of the power trip stuff is starting to build up with the different
people. Yeah, Rick's asserting himself and throwing his weight around a little bit.
And people are starting to, get mad and resent it. Which is going to come out. I mean, issue 100, something's going to happen. You know what I mean? It's just kind of one of those things.
Well, and I think Carl has finally, reached another plateau.
Yeah, because I love how Carl's like, did your eye get blown out? You don't know how I feel.
Yeah.
And it's like, I lost my hand. You know, Rick should have been like, you're right, but you don't know how it feels for me to have lost a hand.
He didn't play that card.
Yeah, which I kind of think he should have, but maybe they're saving that for something in the future. But
oh, wait a minute. And then at the very end?
Yeah, that's not the governor.
Okay, yeah, I forgot the governor had been killed.
It's just somebody else who scouted them out. I don't know who it is.
I don't know either.
But
speaking of the Walking Dead TV show, I'm still upset that they still haven't introduced Michonne's character. And I have a theory that I think the crossbow guy, Derek or Daryl or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Daryl. I think he's that role. I think they've decided to make him her. Because you got to have that one badass in the group. And she's at least in the beginning of the story.
Maybe, but at the same time, I think because she falls in love with the dude at the prison. Tyrese, whatever, right. And they get a thing going on, which leads to the whole stuff where the governor appears and all that stuff. So I think she still has to make an appearance, but he may be filling that role for right now while they explore some of these other storylines. And the season finale we haven't watched yet.
Right.
It aired earlier this evening, but neither of us have had time to watch it, so that'll be something to get into.
Is it actually a split in the season?
Oh, right. It's the mid-season finale.
Right.
Because it won't be coming back till January or February.
Which I'm a bigger fan after the last episode. So
It was nice that they finally had some more action.
Right.
Where they found that suburb that was covered up and the whole thing with the barn and
okay, moving along. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Green Lantern, the regular title.
Regular series.
I like this. This one's my favorite of all of them.
Of all the Green Lanterns?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I liked about Core is that it was very brutal.
And what do you feel about, Sinestro, talking Hal into going into the Lantern, or the Core, what do you call it,
The battery?
The battery.
The Sinestro...
And he disintegrates.
Battery.
Supposedly.
Well, but see, okay, here's the thing. When the whole story with Parallax was that Parallax was imprisoned in the green power battery.
Right.
Which is why the Green Lanterns had the impurity of yellow.
Right.
So I wonder if Hal is going to be trapped in the battery that's going to cause a problem with the Sinestro rings. And maybe he'll only be stuck in there for like 3 issues until whatever resolves. But I don't think it killed him. I think it imprisoned him.
Right.
And they're going to have to come get him out. But still, yeah, I enjoyed the story a lot.
Yeah.
I love Sinestro. I love making...
He's a badass.
Well, and I love how they made Sinestro like a cool character again.
Right.
Because he had the whole, Sinestro Core War and everything. It just kind of fizzled out because it led into... Blackest Night, which led into Brightest Day. It's like it never really had any closure or anything. So now they're finally getting back to the character and making him the focus again.
Right.
And I really enjoy that.
Batgirl.
Good stuff, also. The mirror character, I forget if it has a name, but...
what is he, the Mirror Master or something?
But Nightwing makes the appearance
in
this issue, and they have the whole thing where she doesn't want Nightwing's help, and he tries to keep helping her, and she...
And finally at the end...
He's like,
okay.
Well, no, but he's like, you have to understand that I'm not helping you because I don't trust you, I'm helping you because I care about you.
Right.
And I kind of like that different take on the whole...
Well, she's like basically tells him, I want to be alone. I want to be alone. This issue didn't interest me a whole lot. You know, I mean...
You don't like the inner character relationship?
I think it's too soon when you're trying to build these, but...
Well, I also kind of wonder if they put Nightwing...
Basically, the biggest thing that happened is she got her motorcycle out of Hawk.
Yeah.
It was, the biggest thing that happened in this whole thing.
Like, I wonder if they did it just to... Like, they wanted another Bat Family appearance to tie the books together, you know what I mean? And you can't have Batman in all of them, so why not make a Nightwing?
Sure.
So.
Who used to be Batman, so it almost counts.
Yeah, well, you know.
And then there's Nightwing.
Right.
So.
I enjoy that they're going back to the circus. I really like that he's dealing with the circus where he came from and kind of dealing with, you know, all the stuff that happened with the people he left behind. And something's going to happen, though, with the son of Haney, because he was, all was drunk and pissed off that his dad left it to Dick.
I don't know. Originally, I think I was more enthusiastic about Nightwing, and I'm not quite there yet.
Really?
Yeah. I'll keep picking it up.
I guess one thing I also like, too...
It's starting slow for me.
Well, he also... He went to Chicago.
Right.
He followed the circus. I mean, I like how it's not Gotham City. You know
basically,
what I mean?
In this issue, he buries the circus owner.
Right.
And there's a lot of controversy.
He tracks down the guy who used to work for the circus, who's now an arms dealer, to get some information out of him, blah, blah, blah.
They are doing a lot of bleeding of characters into other things. You know, like, I was reading Justice League Dark, Boston Brand's in it. You know, so
he's got his own.
Right. So there's a lot of mixing going on there. I mean, I get why they're doing it. In my eyes, they don't make for very exciting issues. They always kind of feel like they're filler issues to the next arc or whatever.
I'm
done.
I do want to shout out to iVampire. I'm still amazed at how not Twilight this is.
Okay.
Because for a quote unquote young vampire, male, young vampire, female battle thing, it's not at all beautiful people having sex, you know, vampire stuff. It's very brutal. A lot of people getting staked and decapitated and, you know, good stuff. That's the kind of stuff I like.
Right.
I like some of that stuff.
Give me the real gore.
Some of that good bloody blood stuff. Severed, which is...
I'm current on Severed.
Have you been reading Severed?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Severed.
Yeah.
Like that, and the friend just got eaten, or whatever. Well, she disappeared. You assume she got eaten. I love...
And he's on a crazy train with this dude.
Right, with the guy who killed the gramophone
producer
or whatever. And this is one of those books where...
And
like,
ate the child. He also ate that other kid.
Well, when the girl disappeared, you know, like, he attacked her, and then it fades away, and then it comes back later, and she's gone. Like, I felt sad that the character was gone.
Yeah, I liked that girl.
I know, so did I. There was just something about it where it's like, oh,
well, she
man,
was like this tough
sucks.
Kid that was pretending to be a boy.
Which is, that's how horror should work. I mean, you should feel that emotional attachment to a character so that when they get offed...
You're like, oh.
You feel bad about it. The only way they can do it in Friday the 13th movies is to make her hot. So then when she gets killed, you're like, oh, not the hot girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Also, Young Justice. I don't know if we've ever discussed Young Justice.
I haven't read that one.
It's a cartoon on Cartoon Network. It's about... Robin and Superboy and...
Oh, I think I might have
Artemis.
Caught a glimpse of it.
Yeah, and it's a pretty good cartoon, you know. It's just like watching Justice League or Teen Titans or, you know, any of those. But they do have a comic book that ties into it. And the last three issues were all, like, one big arc. And I'm really kind of impressed with the storytelling that they're doing in a comic based off a cartoon on the Cartoon Network. You know what I mean? It's one of those where it kind of fits that... Like, I hate what's going on in the Teen Titans comic right now. Like,
right.
I stopped reading Teen Titans. I stopped reading Superboy because those are just god-awful in the new DC universe. I really like Young Justice. And it's a book where, yes, it's a kid's book, a quote-unquote kid's young reader's book, but all it means is that they're telling the classic superhero stories without blood and sex.
Right.
So you're getting a very good classic superhero book, and it's... I love it. Penguin, Pain and Prejudice.
I was going to pick that up. I want to know what you have to feel. You have to say about it.
I really enjoy how they're giving Penguin much more of a background, an emotional background. They've kind of done... if you saw Batman Returns, you know, the second Tim Burton movie,
right.
You kind of get this idea that there was an actual person who was Cobblepot, but the problem with Tim Burton's Batman movies is they were very stylistic, right. So you lost some of the substance.
So he looked more like a penguin than a man.
Right, you know, and in this one, he's just this ugly little fat kid, loved his mom, he was abused by his dad. You know, he's always trying to fight for his mom's approval, and so that's how he turns to the life of crime and everything, is because he puts his mom first. She's the number one priority, so if she wants something, he'll kill somebody to get it for her.
Well, like you learn in The Gates of Gotham, you know, Cobblepots were
one of the three families
of Gotham City, and actually a Cobblepot at one time was mayor.
Right. So, I like
Which,
how...
Was that his dad? His dad wasn't mayor, was it?
No,
some
it was
other
his grandpa,
relative, yeah.
Whatever. But yeah, I really like how they're building the character, and I thought the way the first issue ended that something specific was going to happen in the second issue, because it seemed like an obvious setup for it, and it didn't happen.
Right.
So I always love when that happens. Because it didn't happen not because it was too obvious and they had to throw in a swerve, but it just didn't happen because that's not where the story was going. They just kind of led you to believe that. So I enjoyed that. Also want to talk about Pigs. Pigs is from Image Comics.
It's not a Pink Floyd album.
Is there a Pink Floyd album called Pigs?
I don't know. But Pigs is like a theme in there.
Okay.
Actually, I think there's one called Pigs.
Is there?
Yeah.
I don't listen to Pink Floyd, so... I'm not a Floyd head, or whatever it's called. Fled head?
I don't know.
Anyway, I'm not a Pinky. So, in Pigs, though, it's about a Russian terrorist cell... that went to Cuba in the 60s and never extracted.
Held up.
Well, they had a bunch of kids, and like the kids grew up, and they were raised in all this.
So they live on the Bay of Pigs?
Well, no, they live in Cuba, and this woman, like 60 whatever, she decides to, after her husband dies, she goes, you know what, I'm going to call him up and send him into battle. So now suddenly, the end of the first issue, they have a body part of the president. That president's been kidnapped. They chopped off, like I think it was his hand, and they sent it to the authorities. And they know that this woman's involved, but she won't talk. She won't say anything. And you're following kind of flashback of this terrorist cell as they arrive from Cuba, as they make their way in, they make their contacts in the U.S. They're starting to build up their arsenal.
Well,
they go
what
after
president
this,
do they capture?
It doesn't say.
Just a president,
right? It's kind of like, well, you know when you watch like Beverly Hills Cop or something like that, where it's just like, oh look, it's the president, and it's
the
just a guy with white hair. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just that kind of thing. Like, what, the president is missing? They never show a
now
picture.
I have
him.
Like the total like synthesizer Beverly Hills Cop stuck in my head right.
But regardless, though,
dun.
That's kind of but you know they do that with the book, so you're not like tied to a specific year necessarily or anything
right.
like that. It's just like okay, the president and needs to be, you know, somehow rescued or something. And you're just right now you're just following the bad guys on how they did the deed in the first place. So I really like the storytelling in it. The artwork is okay. It's not the greatest. But it's not offensive in any way, so it's all right. Just two more things I want to talk about, and then we'll wrap up this segment. Let's see. First of all, Infinite Vacation. Have you read Infinite Vacation at all? Okay. Infinite Vacation, this is from Nick Spencer, I think, who also does Morning Glories.
Mm.
And, Nick Spencer. And so, basically, they, you know the idea of parallel universes.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these universes and everything's just a little bit different, right? Well, they sell a box where if you make a decision and you don't like the outcome, you can swap with the person in the universe next to you who made the other decision. So, like, this guy meets a girl...
What if the person in the other dimension doesn't like the decision you made?
Well, then you're out of luck. You have to buy your way back. But what this ties into, though, is this guy starts flipping, he flips in this other universe, you know, he's trying to track down his girl, whatever, and finds out that somehow he's like this key to all these parallel universes, and there are all these different parallel universes of him, and a version of him from some crazy other universe is like this cannibal who's like killing people and eating people, and he's decided that he's going to flip to every parallel universe and eat the parallel version of himself. Whoa. So this guy has to be saved because somehow he's like the linchpin of the parallel universes, and at the same time there's a version of him trying to track him down and eat him.
Wow.
So it's, yeah, it's really out there. And it deals with all these different, you know, Star Trek type of science fiction themes of parallel universes and what it means. And there's a religion that says if there's a world of infinite possibilities, then there's a possibility where there are no possibilities.
The negative zone of...
Well, it's the idea that if you say there has to be one of everything, then one of the everything is nothing. And it's like this weird, you know, like mind screw with you, whatever.
Was your mind bottled?
Very bottled. But I love reading stuff that deals with that crazy science fiction.
Hey, yeah, it sounds like very Asimov-ish.
I was just going to say, it's like your classic Bradbury, Arthur C. Clarke, you could say Asimov type stuff. So anyway, Infinite Vacation is great. And then the last thing I want to talk about is a book that we were originally going to cover on this show.
Oh, you're going to talk about it, huh?
I'm going to talk about it on here.
I didn't even get a chance to read it.
Okay, here's the deal. A few episodes ago, we talked about Rotten Volume 1, which was Zombies in the Civil War.
Right.
And it was fun. It was nothing... It wasn't the
greatest
thing.
I think I was a little bit more critical on it than you were.
The artwork was serviceable. You know, it didn't distract, but it wasn't great. But the story was fine. You know, it was fun to see how guys were dealing with zombies in a different time period.
And we both felt it was rushed. Like, it was kind
of... Like it rushed through things and ended too quickly. Okay. So we were going to do Volume 2. So I bought the trade paperback of Volume 2. I read it. I called up Apocalypse. I said... I think I sent you a text, whatever. I said, we're not covering this book. I'm throwing this away. This is garbage.
Right.
And we'll cover something else.
You're like, I don't even want to keep this.
I threw it in the trash. And I'm going to read. I put a review up on Amazon. Gave it 1 star out of 5. I called it a sad follow-up to a promising first volume. And here's what I wrote on Amazon. And this is as much as I'm going to say about it, because I think maybe I'm spending too much time talking about it here for 2 minutes. The first volume of Rotten was by no means perfect, but it was fun and had some interesting ideas on how to deal with zombies, especially during the post-Civil War era. The art was inconsistent, but it was serviceable, and the overall experience was fun. As comic book publishing has taken a hit during this recession, a few issues of Rotten were never printed and are collected in this volume for the first time. I thought the poor economy may have had something to do with the decision not to print the issues, but now I see it's because they are so terrible that the company decided to abandon this series. In the most thoughtless and heavy-handed way, Mark Rayner and Robert Horton lash out at anyone and everyone they don't like in a story that's the comic book equivalent of a Calvin sticker peeing on a Ford logo in the back window of a Chevy. The zombies in the action take a back seat to a message of anti-capitalism, anti-freedom of thought, and anti-faith. The very thought of making the story entertaining seems to have been tossed out with the bathwater in order to service their cheap attack on political figures they disagree with. It might have made them feel better about their inability to argue a position in any sort of meaningful way, but it makes the readers who paid money to read the story the biggest losers in the equation. I've been collecting comics for over 30 years, but this is the first trade I actually tossed in the garbage.
Ouch.
Yeah. Not a fan of that anymore.
Okay.
I had high hopes for that.
Rotten has gone past rotten. It's gone to completely decayed.
It's gone to skunk, so... And I already feel like I wasted too much time on it, right. So that's it.
There was a couple other ones I just want to throw out.
Oh, come on.
Caligula, if you read that one yet?
I read the first 2 issues. That's okay. As far as I got into it.
And then,
but you can spoil it if you want.
No, I'm not going to spoil it. I just want to know if you read it at all.
Okay. Have you read it?
I'm current on it. There's still one more issue left. I really like it.
Do you like it more than Crossed because it's from the same company?
It's mentally stimulating. More than Crossed, psychologically speaking. Like, Crossed is all about shock value, and there is a lot of shock in Caligula.
Right.
But there's also, like, this, like, underlying, you know, is Caligula the devil, and all this... There's a lot of other stuff going on, and then, like, the Torn character that, you know, Caligula is using as a stool pigeon who wants to seek revenge on Caligula. It's a really cool story, and it's still got that shocking art that's, I think, a lot of fun.
A lot of gore and blood, yeah. And...
So, and then I'm also going to probably next episode talk about Dark Victory, which is the sequel to The Longest Halloween, Batman.
Oh, Dark Victory was what that next one was. And
that's all I just wanted to say. You know, I plan on talking about that.
So,
next.
Well, I mean, should I read
Dark Victory?
Dark Victory for the next show? Should
I'm
that
sure
be
you've
segment?
Read it before, right?
I read The Long Halloween back, you know, several years ago, but I don't know if I ever read Dark Victory.
I'm into issue 4 or 5. I like it.
So should we cover that one next time?
It's a lot like The Long Halloween. Right. I mean, it's like they don't even skip a beat going from Long Halloween to Dark Victory. They could have just called it The Long, Long Halloween.
The Longer Halloween.
But it involves another serial murderer, so.
Yeah. So you like it? It's worth it?
I do. I think we should cover it.
Okay.
So that's all I want to talk about that. Segment one, longest segment
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, we're another 45 minutes.
Yeah. Sorry, folks.
Yeah, it happens.
To ramble.
I'm sure they're used to it by now. Yeah. If they're listening to this show, they've heard it before. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it for segment one here. We're going to take a quick break, probably to potty and grab a snack or something and get some freshy drinks. And then we will be back because we are going to talk about one of your favorite series of all time, right?
Deadpool Max.
Deadpool Max.
You're listening to a podcast on PopCultureNetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.popculturenetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to PopCultureNetwork.com and click on Store.
I like how Bush is in these orange cans. Like, in case you're...
Wait a minute, where is it? I don't see it.
No, you do see the orange.
No, I'm colorblind.
Are you really colorblind?
No.
Oh, nice. Okay. Welcome back to Comaholics, everybody. I, of course, am Dirt. I'm here with my co-host.
Apocalypse.
I don't think we introduced ourselves last time.
No,
did
we didn't.
Personally?
Everybody knows us. Come on now.
We're the stars of the show.
If you clicked on... Listen to this podcast.
You probably know what's going on. You think people know?
No, I think we suck. But, you know, we're going to keep doing it.
Oh, that's so harsh, man. That's so harsh, dude. So harsh. All right. So this segment, you wanted to talk about Deadpool. And you actually wanted to talk about Deadpool before.
Yeah.
We didn't get a chance to do it because we were talking too long. So
this not the is main like, title. We're talking about Max here.
Yeah, Deadpool Max. And now, well, I guess, first of all, why did you want to talk about Deadpool Max?
Well, because I wanted to talk about a beginning and end type series, which...
There is a volume 2 out.
Which just started.
Right.
It's 2 issues deep.
Right.
It's called Deadpool Max, cleverly titled... Number 2.
Oh, whoa, wait, what?
Yeah.
Deadpool Max 2 is the name of the second volume?
Yes.
That's crazy. I don't think I can follow that.
Yeah, so... anybody have trouble understanding which one's 1 and 2? They made it really simple for us. Okay, so, Deadpool Max 1... well, first let's talk about what a Max is.
Okay, the Max line from Marvel is their mature readers line... their explicit content line. It's the one that has swearing and boobies and...
Naked peoples.
Lots of blood. All that kind of good stuff that you've come to expect from your modern day comic book.
So you combine that with Deadpool. And, you know, immediately, I'm sure if you're familiar with Deadpool, is, you know, I'm a big fan. It's pretty much limitless as far as, like, the potential you could go with that character in a Max title. It starts off, Deadpool is chopping away some peoples here, doing his classic thing. And he's tied up. Oh my god, I forgot. There's like this whole fantasy land at the beginning here.
Well, okay, basically, Deadpool is an agent for the government.
And he's being manned by his old pal from Hydra.
Hydra Bob is the like the government handler who's there to keep him in line.
Yeah, well, he's supposed to be Deadpool's boss.
Right.
He's supposed to be telling Deadpool what hit he's supposed to do next.
Of course, Deadpool doesn't understand this, and so he just...
Well, it's like it doesn't even, like... He can't even comprehend what Bob's trying to do to him, other than all Bob has to do is say, Hydra.
And it makes
Deadpool's
go.
Like, okay, all right, we're doing it.
These are agents of Hydra. I'm going to go kill him.
This part here where Deadpool's like, boobies! He's like laying in the shower. And there's boobies there, yeah.
There are indeed boobies.
So,
it's definitely a humor book.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know what you would say the equivalent is. I mean, it's like the Animal House of the Marvel Universe.
It is definitely the Lampoon of Marvel Universe, for sure. It started. The first issue involves the big Guido guy out to.
Well, it's because they're trying to get in the Hammerheads organization,
right?
And so Bob, right, has been
he's been pretending to be this guy's Guma, as you would say,
his girlfriend,
the male Guma of his.
He's trying to be
the mafioso world.
The male girlfriend of this guy. It
shows him, like, lying in bed with this guy. And this guy's, like, this, like, real hothead, violent, ultra-violent, I'm sure he wasn't so kind in the bedroom kind of guy.
As if,
you know...
You don't think he's a generous lover?
As if unwillingly being in that situation anyways wouldn't be unkind to begin with.
But somehow he's made it worse for himself?
I don't think he was a friendly lover.
Hmm.
But
so Bob kind of gets himself in these really bad situations a lot where one of the
and
things
it's very much like the classic Bob carried over to Max in the sense that, you know, Bob's still perpetually trying to sort of do right, so to speak, like make hello there.
Yeah, I'm sorry, hello.
Trying to make, like, good decisions, but Deadpool always sways him into the, you know...
And he keeps, basically finding himself in a situation where his government handlers, they don't like him, and they're trying to,
Well, that, yeah, at the very end, basically, that's kind of the main principle where he goes rogue,
So what? I mean, what's your favorite thing about the series? Boobies?
No. The campy art that goes back and forth in the alternate realities, like here in this second issue here, where it's going back many years ago. I think when Deadpool was a kid. Yeah.
Well, let's just mention them briefly. The artwork is from Kyle Baker. Kyle Baker is known for having a very distinct style. It's very cartoony. He uses a lot of line work in a very unusual way to add texture and...
Well, the detail, like, where he decides to accentuate the detail on, like, the faces... It's not to make them look pretty.
Right. And he uses a lot of times, like, if he's going to draw hair, he'll you know, draw the hair with the, you know, the black outline, but then he colors it brown, and then he uses a different brown line to color the lines in the hair. So it's like, it's not like your standard artwork where it's black outlines around everything. It's like a lot of times he's using a colored line on top of another color in order to make something stand out, which is, I don't know if it's 100% unique, but it is very unique looking compared to anything else that's on the shelves, at least in the United States.
Right.
It may be, you know, a European thing that he's picking up on, but it definitely, it does not look like anything else you're going to find on the comic book shelf when you walk into the store.
So the second issue, he's like busting out of an insane asylum, basically.
Well, and the doctor's in love with him.
Yeah. Which is much better than the... She's much hotter than the doctor that's in love with him in the main Deadpool.
Actually, yeah, she's pretty hot.
She's pretty smoking. So he gets out. She ends up in the straitjacket. And then Baron Zemo is next in the third issue.
And Baron Zemo, in this one, he's like a clan leader, isn't he?
Right.
He's like a neo-Nazi.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. There it is.
Yeah, and this is... they are not afraid to
cross the line on political boundaries.
To upset anybody. So yeah. They are straight up, you see burning crosses and guys in hoods and...
And the Nazi guy with his family.
I mean, there's no... They use every foul word that you can think of to describe people of another race.
Right.
I mean, they are just... They go there. And you don't think anyone's going to go there. They go there.
Well, and it talks about this kid here with the oh, and it's Baron Zemo. Isn't that how they present this?
What do you mean?
The kid when his dad shot himself. What is that? Where does that come from?
Yeah, the flashback. It's right. A flashback to Baron Zemo's childhood.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Really twisted stuff.
All right, so what... I mean... Let's talk about the series kind of as an overall, not necessarily issue by issue. But, I mean, what... Did it ever kind of lag for you anywhere? I mean, was
no, I thought it was exciting the whole time. Like, I enjoyed every single issue. And, I mean, I know I'm a big fan and all.
There was one time, like, you sent me a text or whatever, you were reading one of the issues and you were laughing out loud. Do you remember which one that was?
That was towards the end. Was it issue 10? The Hail Hydra one?
Well, tell everybody the story of Hydra.
Well, in this, Hydra is so secret, it's unknown of. You know, it's like this great mystery. And Deadpool is convinced that Hydra exists. And he wants to destroy them. And...
Well, see, I thought there was no Hydra. And so didn't Bob create Hydra in order to get Deadpool like on his side?
Yeah, you actually never actually see a Hydra army. Well, no, there's that one Hydra guy they find in the closet.
Well, no, because he creates Hydra as a way to motivate Deadpool so that he can get his job back and get back in the good graces with the government.
Right, all he has to say is, you know, oh, he's a Hydra agent.
And he brings in the Taskmaster, who adopted Deadpool as a child, but then... continually had sex with him.
Right.
Trained him to be a killer.
Oh, yeah, here it is.
And then Bob, like, handcuffs her to the bed, goes to find Deadpool, tries to make everything all right, and, of course, Taskmaster escapes and takes over Hydra.
Right.
And then ends up making Hydra into a real terrorist organization trying to destroy the world. And then...
I don't know, there were a lot of funny parts in this. I love the humor in this. It's just like sick, violent,
there's a
slappy
whole,
in the face humor.
There's a whole issue where Deadpool feels bad for Bob because he keeps losing his job, so he throws him a bachelor party.
Right,
but
yeah.
Bob's not getting married.
I think that was it. That was the bachelor party.
So
yeah.
So he brings in these hookers, and one of them's like the skinny little hot chick, and then there's like this super fat.
Yes, that's
chick,
the right.
Like,
that's 600 right. She's
pounds.
Like this monstrous woman.
And
what issue was that?
Oh, and then there's the weasel, who is, he finds, like, this guy holding a weasel by the side of the road and brings him into the party, and it turns out, like, the weasel is, like, this criminal mastermind, and the, yep, that's the one, and the super fat chick
yep,
is, like, really,
is, yeah.
She wants to be, like, the headmistress to take out all the other pimps.
He's like, I'm not engaged. We're getting you a bachelor party. Yeah, there she is.
And just let it be known... that the super orca fat chick is wearing a see-through
yes.
teddy.
This
so,
is very explicit.
So it does show everything she's got to offer, for better or for
she
worse.
She has a lot to offer.
Does she really?
Yeah.
She really
well,
has a
I
lot
mean,
to
she
offer?
Says she has a lot to offer. She seems to be the baddest whore of the bunch.
And so she's, like, manipulating them to get into a fight with the pimps.
Well, and actually, all these girls are actually working for...
Or is Weasel the pimp?
Weasel, yes. Actually working for Weasel to kill Deadpool. And at the end, it's kind of like one of those, can't we all just get along?
And it is, like, to be fair, it is kind of what you'd call a throwaway story.
Right.
In the sense that it's... In the overall picture, it's not that important, but it is super funny, and it is kind of one of those... Like, when you've got a TV show, there's always, like, one of those goofball episodes that they always throw in. Like, sometimes it's, like, the Halloween episode or the Christmas episode. Well, with Deadpool Max, it's the Bachelor Party episode. Mm-hmm. You know? Of course, there's no one's getting married. But they do have the whole story with... The chick, the doctor from the hospital, escapes, and she calls herself Domino.
Right.
And she says that she's pregnant, and she takes a baby doll and sticks it up her shirt.
Yes,
to say that she's pregnant. So then Deadpool thinks he's going to be a dad. Yes. And then finds the baby doll. And then, like, she throws the baby doll in the trash. She's like, no, you can't do this to our child. But it's a toy, so it's always crying. And he can't figure out how to make it stop crying, so bangs it on the side of the dresser to break it so it won't cry anymore. And Deadpool's like, well, mommy's always right. I mean, it's stuff that makes absolutely no sense.
No, it doesn't.
Except in the world of Deadpool.
I think in the Marvel Universe, this is just one of those titles that I like to read because it is so different and off the wall. It's not...
It is its own thing.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily try to be what everything else is doing.
I really think that anybody that collects this will not be disappointed. I just think it's a lot of fun.
Unless you don't like boobies.
If you don't like boobies or curse words.
Yeah. A lot of curse words in this one. Now, Deadpool Max 1 was 12 issues long.
Right.
Have you read Deadpool Max 2, 1 and 2?
Yes.
So how do they compare?
It feels like it just kind of takes off right where we're left off.
Well, how did the first one end? The first one ends with Taskmaster screws them over, right? Or no, the government screws them over.
Yes.
They stop Taskmaster from destroying Cincinnati.
Right.
But the government handlers still bomb Cincinnati with the...
I don't have Deadpool Max 12 on here. Oh my goodness. What will I do?
I've got it right here. But, They go ahead and they drop the Liquid X on Cincinnati, kill a bunch of people, and they frame... Do they actually frame Bob for it and not Deadpool? And so issue 12 ends series 1 with Bob is now on the run from the government, and Deadpool says he's going to help him clear his name.
Right.
And they walk off into the sunset, and that's the end of the first...
No, Bob and Deadpool are still working together in Deadpool 2.1.
Well, it's not 0.1.
I know, I'm calling it 0.1. Where is it? There it is. Right, there it is. They're in, like, a Atlanta strip club, start out.
Do you think this is...
And they're both, like, in, like, bandaged...
I don't think Marvel has announced a trade for this. Is this worth people going out and picking up the individual issues? Like, is it worth going through the work of going on?
I'm proud to have every single individual issue, so I mean, I don't know.
You think it's worth going through the work of finding all the individual issues to add it to your collection?
No, I mean, it'd be worth waiting for a trade if it's going to happen. But if it's not going to happen, it'd be worth to go get, if you can still get it.
Yeah, because like I said, I don't know if there is going to be a trade or not. But I mean, they make trades of everything
nowadays. It's worth collecting either way. If you can get a trade, get a trade. But
if you can't, it's worth finding the individual.
Yeah, I think so.
How would you compare this to...
Whoa!
Oh!
Explosion.
Oh, you said a bad beer. How would you compare Deadpool Max to a regular Deadpool? Or Merc with a Mouth, even?
Not as good as Merc with a Mouth. Definitely more entertaining than the main Deadpool title right now. I think. That's my opinion. But that's what this whole show is about, is my opinion. So, there you go.
Well, I think it's about our opinion.
Oh, it is, oh yeah, and whatever Dirt says over here, too. There's a lot of talking, and then you hear Dirt.
Yeah, oh, what? I don't even know what that means, but...
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Gosh.
I don't know. I think...
spilled a beer. I got angry.
I think in some ways I like the humor, but it also seems like a lot of times they're trying to find an excuse to put some boobies in it or something. You know what I mean? Like, I almost wish there were times that it would just settle down and tell the story instead of trying to be too outlandish. But then the outlandishness is what makes it so incredible most of the time.
It makes it max.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's kind of... It's hard to say.
Are you going to keep reading it?
I'll definitely keep reading it. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, obviously they're going to continue on at least another 10 to 8 issues because, you know, it's 12 issues the last one. This is the second volume of it, so be more to come.
What do you think about... let's see, how do I want to say it? What do you think about Deadpool Max, since it is full of harsh language and sex and all that stuff, do you think that is too much, that it's going to turn certain people off?
No, because I think it's expected from a Deadpool Max title. I think anybody that's picking this up is definitely, most of them are probably avid Deadpool readers.
Right.
It's not going to be like somebody just picking up off the shelf, you know.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. Oh my lord! The language of this book!
Little Timmy, where did you find this? No, I don't think it's going to be like that at all. I think everybody's going to know exactly what they're going to expect.
What they're getting into.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
And if you're not, you should be listening to our podcast, and you'd know by listening to us.
All right.
So there
well, everyone should just listen to our show, and that would be
fine. That's right,
fun.
And then we would tell them what to read.
Fair enough. All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for segment number 2 on Comiholic 16. We are going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we are going to talk about Invincible.
That's right.
The first trade of Invincible, the first 4 issues. So,
And we're also going to talk about it, reading it on Comixology.
Yeah, and we'll talk about Comixology, too, because we both read it through Comixology. So this was a 100% digital read on our part. So we're going to pull up Comixology on our specific readers here, and
we're going to get Invincible on, yo.
Word.
What it is, friends. Sweenholic here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
And stuff, and then dipped it in batter, and then fried it.
Well, no, because I don't want that stuff on the inside. Like, give me the corn dog, and I'll eat the corn off of it like I'm eating corn on the cob.
Right.
But then I'll take the dog and put it in a bun
And
put ketchup and relish on it, and then I'll eat it.
So if I have a bun prepared...
But if I just have a hot dog on a stick, it's going in the trash. Because what do I care?
Served its purpose. It was just the holder of the bread.
Comiholics, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to episode 16, segment 3. We get into the real meat of the matter on this show.
This is serious stuff, people.
You gotta know.
Are you paying attention? Hello. Is this mic on?
You gotta know what's
because
happening.
We're just now starting the show, really. This is when the show starts.
This is when the show really starts. When we were about 3 beers and a scotch into it.
We have to be in the green.
Then, you know, the time has come.
And this boy don't have to be at work at 5:30 in the morning, so watch out. Oh, did it to me again.
And once again, we got beer foam all over the carpet here in Comiholics HQ.
It was cheap. Cheap carpet.
So was that's that, what she said.
Was that snack okay?
That's what she said, yeah.
It was a little cheap snack.
We got some chips and cheese. We got some, what did you call these things? These things.
Tortillas.
Some tortillas.
See?
Now, do we know, like, are these, like, Honduran...
I don't know.
...tortillas?
I apologize.
Does it say on the bag?
What?
Does it say on the bag, like, product of Guatemala? Or?
I don't know. What's it? But it's distributed from Aldi in Batavia, Illinois. It's made in Batavia, Illinois.
Because when I think of tortillas, I think of Batavia, Illinois. That's the one place that comes to mind. How odd.
It was just distributed from, I don't know. It was made in thin air.
Made in a sweatshop in downtown Chicago.
Yeah. No, it doesn't say.
All right, well, we're actually going to talk about two things.
Yeah.
Here in segment three. The first main thing being, of course, Invincible Volume 1,
mm-hmm.
The first trade. But second of all, we're going to be talking about Comixology, because we both read this through Comixology.
Right.
Instead of reading this through the traditional paper way, I needed something to replace Rotten, since that actually went in the trash. So, we're not Comixology.
Literally.
And I bought a copy for me, and I bought a copy to send to you.
Yes, thank you.
So, first of all, tell me, how did you redeem the one I bought for you?
I just had to go online to my browser, I just pulled up the email, clicked the link, took me right to it, said, you know, your friend has bought you a copy, you know, redeem here. That was it. It's very simple.
Very easy.
I already had a Comixology account.
From the Justice League.
From the Justice League. So it was an easy transition there. Lucky me, I just bought a tablet. A really nice tablet. And I'm very happy with it. And it's a 10-inch screen, so it's like reading a real
page. Yeah, if you put
a
full page and turn it sideways, it's like holding the actual comic in your hand.
Comixology on it flows seamlessly. My tablet, it takes like a half a second for the words to kind of gel up. You know, I don't know what the technical term is, but put it into focus. But yeah, it flows great. And what I like about Comixology is it goes frame by frame. You can go frame by frame on it.
Which you can turn off. There are some people that don't like that.
Yeah, you can go page by page if you want.
They say that they prefer doing the full page viewing, which...
And you can still double click and zoom. And, you know, I'm kind of a veteran at this in the Android world because, you know, I've used C-Reader, I've used... Android Comic Viewer, I've used JJ Reader and Perfect Viewer.
Mm.
And the close second is Perfect Viewer for me. But I really do like Comixology and what they're doing here. And plus, they have like a limitless access of comics you can buy and download. I mean, it's quick. You know, I mean, I'm working with a really nice processor here. So, of course, you know, my downloads are, you know, all Wi-Fi, really smooth. Transition, but and I like just how it's organized as far as picking out your comics and what you've recently viewed. I wish they had a bookshelf. I think that's my.
We'd see all the covers in the cover browser.
You know, because you kind of
You download them, you can go to the My Comics tab, and it'll show you the covers of the ones you most recently downloaded.
Right.
So I mean, you can get it kind of that way, but. I've got Comixology. Of course, you can read it through the web.
Right.
So if you're at someone else's computer,
you can
pull up
your account and read it.
Like on your laptop or your desktop, you can just log into the website and read it there.
Like I have it on my smartphone. I have it on my tablet.
I was going to say I've got it on my phone. I've got it on my tablet. I read through the website, and when all the digital comic stuff first started coming out, there's, you know, Panelfly, there's Graphically, there's Comixology. I preferred Graphically at the time because Graphically was the one that really pushed the idea that you can read it through your computer, whereas Comixology was like, oh, iPad, iPhone. Well, you know, screw your iPad, screw your iPhone, you know.
I'll tell you what, and I have an Android tablet, and I have to say, from what the research I've done, And, you know, these are just critics telling me that, you know, the tablets run a little faster than the iPad 2 that are out. You know, all of the programs I use to read comic books, they're all Android-based, so that's why I chose an Android tablet. But yeah, Comixology has really got it down as far as I think what we all want when we're reading a comic book digitally.
Right. Well, the one thing that graphically has is a social interaction with the comics. So when you're reading a comic, you can tap on a panel and leave a note, and someone else reading it can find your note. You can sync notes with friends. You can sync them publicly. So it does add like a social layer on top of reading the comics. But having said that, graphically doesn't have the deal with DC. It doesn't have the deal with Marvel. They can get Boom Studios and Image and IDW and whatever, but you don't have the Marvel and DC books that are all over Comixology. So Comixology won that battle.
Right.
You know, what it came down to. They're the number one. And they have done a really slick job once they started pushing Android and pushing the desktop as opposed to being an iPhone, iTunes thing.
Right.
It did make a difference. And
I'd say they're the top dog right now as far as
I've gotten to the point,
Android-based comic book, you know, reading.
I've been collecting comics for long enough that comics are such a flavor of the month deal where something that is hot this month is going to be worthless next month, and something that is, you know, seemingly nobody's paying attention to now is going to be the one that's big money in 5 years.
Right.
So I've gotten to the point where having paper comics for a lot of books to me is a detriment.
Right.
I want to read them. I don't necessarily want to have them on my shelf. And I go through comics. I just want to sell a bunch of them off, get rid of them. They take up space. You've got what, 6 small boxes and 1 magazine box?
No,
there?
those are all comics.
Oh, that's just a bigger box.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I actually have a wall in my basement that is comic book boxes, because I've got nowhere else to put them. So they're just stacked floor to ceiling,
right?
You know, making a wall. I've got nothing else to do with these books, and a lot of them I want to get rid of. So when DC moved to Comixology and these books became available, I just started buying a lot of them digitally, because I don't want the paper comics sitting around. And I can pull it up on my smartphone, I pull them up on my computer, I pull them up on my tablet, I can take them anywhere I go. There have been a couple times I've been sitting around, you know, we were at a nursing home one day, killing time, and I was bored.
You were just at a nursing home, killing time.
Yeah, right? You know, I just hang out at nursing homes, trying to meet ladies. And, you know, and it was just like, well, I'm going to read.
They're good listeners.
They are. But I was just like, you know, I'm going to read something. So I just grabbed my phone and flipped to Comixology and bought some comics and just read them, you know, right there. And,
if you have a smartphone that doesn't have a really big screen, too, it's nice.
Yeah, the panel-to-panel is very
nice. Because the panel-to-panel, it's much easier to read. You're not, like, double-clicking Zoom all the time, right. And, you know.
And also, a lot of people say, well, what if they go out of business? I don't actually own these comics. You know, if you're reading them through the website, you're just streaming them, which is true. But if you've got a tablet or a smartphone, it actually is downloading to that device. So you can read them offline. You can go home, use your Wi-Fi to download them to your machine, and then you don't have to worry about your data plan and all that kind of stuff. You will keep them on your device. You can put them on your memory card, and you can save them all to your memory card. Your memory card gets full, pop it out, pop in a new memory card, fill it up with your next round of books.
Right.
So, you know, that's not an issue really anymore. And, of course, you know, cloud storage being so cheap and everything nowadays that it just, it's not really an issue anymore. So, there are, you know, again, you don't own a physical copy that you can sell to somebody else. And a lot of people, that makes a big deal to them. But like I said, I've been collecting comics so long that I read so many different things. Owning paper copies of everything just gets in the way nowadays more than, you know, it really helps to have them. So I really enjoy Comixology. Like I said, they won the battle. I think graphically has some nicer features with the social aspect, but
I like the transition from page to page and panel to panel. It's real smooth.
Right. Yeah, well, and they have that also on graphically. They do that also. So, but yeah, overall, I think digital comics are a nice experience.
I still love my paper.
There are some books that I want to own.
Yeah.
Because I know I will want to keep reading them. You know, there are books I go back and read again. But there are a lot of times there's stuff that I want to read, but I don't necessarily want to keep forever.
Right.
You know, because a lot of, like, Avengers, stuff like that, if I can just buy the copy to read through it, when am I going to go back and read, you know, month after month of Avengers again? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like those I'll buy in digital copy. I've been doing that with Amazing Spider-Man. I got all those Spider Islands and everything. I've just been buying that as a digital copy and just keeping the digital copy because I'm not really that worried about owning Amazing Spider-Man.
And I'll tell you what, it is really nice to walk around with this tablet and have, like, I mean,
yeah.
I could have hundreds of comics on this thing. But, I mean, you know, I could have, like, 50 comics at my disposal and just...
Well, and another thing that's nice with Comixology is that you can load it on multiple devices.
Right.
So if I buy something, the first thing I do is I grab my tablet and I grab my phone and I download a copy to each simultaneously while I pull it up on my web browser and read it. So it's like I've got it. If I want to go pick up my son at school and I'm going to be sitting in the parking lot, you know, waiting for school to get out.
Yeah, you can buy something on your PC at home, come back to it later on your tablet or your phone, and then download it.
Right, right. So so that's really nice. So overall, I got to say, I like reading the digital comics experience, and I think it's here to stay. I'm definitely going to keep with it.
And ideally, I really think that if you really want to dive into digital comics, splurge and get a tablet. I think... I just think it's the best way to view comics digitally because it's more like, for example, this 10-inch one. I mean, I'll say this.
I feel
like I'm like reading a book when it's in front of
you.
You
need
know?
A device for it. Although, I mean, I've been reading digital comics for several years, and so I'll say like my netbook is great for it. Also, but it's also a 7-inch screen netbook. It's just the cheap little Asus EEE PC, and 7-inch screen, you just turn it sideways, and you hit a button to make the controls turn sideways, and I hold it like I'm holding a book, and I can flip page by page, you know. On a tablet, it's nice just because tablets are so portable and small and easy to carry around. I've got a small 7-inch tablet. You've got the 10-inch tablet. You know, I mean, it is a difference in the size of the screen, but, I mean, it's just as easy for me to read through...
Right.
On here, you know.
I think you are. I mean, and the thing is, you can get a minimum 7-inch tablet, Android 2.2, for $80.
Yeah, I was gonna say this is an Android 2.2,
right? For even cheaper. I mean, they're so cheap now. I mean,
yeah, it's really not expensive. If you're, you know, Christmas time's coming, ask your parents, ask your wife. Whoever.
I spoiled myself and just
yeah.
Know,
but I mean,
got
you
my
can,
Christmas present.
You can get
early,
one that's not going to cost you an arm and a leg.
No. And, you know, do your research. I mean, if I were to just kind of give you my perception right now, the three big dogs are the iPad 2, Samsung Galaxy 10.1, and the Motorola Xoom, or Zoom, or however you'd say it, are the three big ones to get right now if you want to get the biggest screen, fastest processor, most memory.
Right. And you know, I've got a laptop. So I'm not looking for a tablet to do all my portable computing, you know.
But if you don't, I didn't have a laptop.
Right. So for you,
it
made a difference.
This tablet is basically just a beefed up touchpad laptop, but it's only 10-inch screen, you know.
Right.
I've been very happy with it.
So it just kind of depends on what you're looking for in the device. Like I said, I've got a smaller one. I'm perfectly happy with my smaller, you know, tablet. I don't need to have a huge one. And you can get them for less than $100. Go to CVS and buy the one that CVS has. You'll be fine with it. It's, you know, it's going to be a good device for just reading comics on. Now, having gone through all that with Comixology, we bought Invincible on Comixology to read. I had read a little bit of Invincible here and there. I didn't follow it religiously month after month, and I hadn't read the origin story. I've never read these first issues before.
And who's the writer?
The writer, this is Robert Kirkman, same guy who does...
Why is he such a big name right now?
The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Which you'll notice, actually, in the beginning of the book, there's a scene where he's sitting on the toilet, before he goes to school.
Yeah.
He's reading a copy of... he says, I'm reading this comic book. Leave me alone. The comic book he's reading is Science Dog.
Right.
Science Dog, Kirkman actually printed this year, made a couple issues of it. In The Walking Dead, Carl is wearing a t-shirt for Science Dog. So there's your link between Invincible and Walking Dead, is the Science Dog character is in both.
What's with Science Dog all about?
You know, actually, I didn't read them when they came out. I should have.
That's the other thing I like about Comixology is you can zoom in and out as well as going frame by frame, and it's really, it flows well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is the first four issues of Invincible.
Right. And it's the first trade.
So it's, you know, it's basically the story build of this kid who his dad is a superhero, has a secret identity, and lives with his family. He is basically kind of like your atypical Superman. He's from another planet. Elected himself to come to Earth and observe Earthlings and to determine whether or not we are worthy enough to gain the knowledge of his planet and his people. Basically, his planet where he comes from, they've reached a peak of utopia where there's complete harmony on the planet, and they want to spread that throughout the universe.
And actually, you don't know at first that his dad's an alien. You just know that he's a superhero. You find out later because
you
the
know
son
this is the first four issues. I'm sorry, this is the first four issues, so there can be a little bit of spoiling involved. It's just the first four,
but they are up to like 80.
Yeah,
some
I mean,
issues,
so we're not spoiling a lot here.
But the character, the main character of the book, is the son of this superhero. And he is just starting to get his powers.
And I love it. Like, his dad, like, makes him get, like, this job as, like, a fry cook.
To build character.
Yeah, and he goes to take out the trash, and he has this moment where he's like, huh, I think I can make this bag disappear. And just, like, chucks it up in the air, and it just disappears into, like, outer space.
Oh, it's like he throws it up to throw it in the dumpster.
And he's like,
goes,
it's about time.
He goes, like, a mile up in the air.
He's starting to get... Because, as you find out in, like, the second or third issue, his dad does sit down with him and say, hey, look... Here's the deal. You're actually half alien. You know, I'm an alien. I'm here, you know, and he kind of gives this whole speech about how his planet is trying to, not really colonize, but help,
spread
underprivileged planets develop.
Right. And Earth is considered not mature enough.
And I have a feeling that's going to go in another direction. And that's the thing, you know, this is Kirkman. So the only Kirkman I know of is Walking Dead. So I'm waiting for like the trap door to fall out and like utter chaos.
For this horrible tragedy to befall everybody.
And there isn't a horrible tragedy here. It's actually, kind of a very basic superhero story. I mean,
yeah, well, I mean, he does the traditional horror book, and then now he's doing the, I don't say now, these 80-some issues into it, but he does this traditional superhero book.
I'm captivated. I like the character. I like the kid. You know, I just,
Mark is a good character. He's the son. His dad is Omni-Man, the superhero.
Right.
He is a really good character. He's a lot of fun.
And you see him evolve into a superhero. It's kind of like Spider-Man, sort of.
Right.
You know?
I mean, you're going to have that comparison anytime you got a teenage superhero thing going on. There's a lot of humor kind of hidden in the book. Like, for instance, they go... Mark goes to...
Oh, yeah, his mom.
Well,
his
first,
mom's hilarious, because she's just like, you know, oh, your dad's gone, he'll be back, you know.
Well, he's been gone for 3 weeks now.
He's been gone for... He was gone for 6 months, missed your birthday, you know.
But no, he goes to Reginald Vell Johnson High School.
Right.
That's the fat guy who was the cop in Die Hard, who was the dad on
Family
Matters.
Yeah.
That's Reginald Vell Johnson.
I didn't even notice that. That's great.
And so that's the high school they go to. There's little things like that just kind of thrown in, you know.
I kind of like the campiness of the high school kids. Just kind of fun. Just the stereotypical, reminded me of kind of Spider-Man-ish, you know, young Peter Parker.
I also like how, like, there are other superheroes.
Right. You don't really get to see the depth of any of them.
Right, you just kind of like, because you're following Mark, and so when he joins with the team, you only see the team when he's interacting with them, otherwise they don't exist. So it's never going off on following these other people around. Like, meanwhile, on the other side of town, it's always just like, you know, there's Mark, Invincible.
Well, he joins the team of teenagers. What are they called?
The teen team, or?
Where is it? Here they arrive.
This is good radio, by the way. This
good radio.
There they are.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, here's, you know, I don't have everything all together. Well,
maybe
all
you
once.
Should have looked it up before you started.
Well, there's a couple of, there's like four kids involved, and then there's like their robot leader, and there are this this gang of kids. I still can't find the name of what they're called. And the robot is kind of like the teacher slash information officer for the group. And he's also kind of helps them investigate the crimes that are going on.
Actually, I just found, while I was flipping through, there's a scene where he goes to the principal's office. And the principal sitting at the desk is this big black dude. And his last name is Winslow. Which was the name of the dad on Family Matters, played by Reginald Vell Johnson.
Go,
so I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be Reginald Vell Johnson sitting there as the principal. So if they ever do a movie, it's good to know that the guy's got a job waiting for him.
It's based around... So this teenage team-up, I don't know what you call them, because I still can't find it. Even though I have, like... utter access to every single issue right here, right in front of me, and I see the Reginald Vell Johnson High School.
Yeah, you see him? Does he totally look like him?
He does. They're trying to figure out, there's these bombings, and they all think it's terrorists, and what it is they're bombs strapped to the bodies of these people, and they're walking to like public places like the mall. And blowing up and killing a lot of people. And through investigation... Well, I mean, I don't know how much you want to spoil this, the first four issues, but... Turns out it's one of the teachers of the school. That's this, like, psycho engineer. And he steals kids from the school. Straps bombs to them that is powered by their own biomechanics. And... they blow up and kill lots of people.
So, basically, they're just trying... They know that students have been disappearing from school, and they make the connection that these
right.
are the kids
and
who
are blowing up. And that's what the robot's helping them figure out.
And so that's the big storyline in this one, is trying to thwart that villain and save these...
As well as the kid, a.k.a. Invincible, is helping his dad, Omni-Man, fight off aliens that...
Yeah, right here. We're the teen team.
Teen team. There we go. What a lame name. Maybe that's the joke.
I'm Robot. You've met Adam Eve.
Yeah.
That's Rexplode with Duplicate rounding out the team. Okay, so anyway.
But he does help his dad like fight these aliens that it turns out that they're not equipped to live in our gravity or something
right.
like that. And then they like age really quickly and die.
Well, and also, like, there's the scene where he's flying with his dad.
Yeah, and he can't
and he's
keep
like,
up with
oh,
him.
Hey, Dad, there's... And you see the dad, like, disappear, and then
I
he's right back,
his, yeah.
Okay. He's like, oh, yeah, I stopped that fire. Like, oh, wait, hold on. It's like, oh, okay, I took care of that bridge. Hey, Dad, the dam, okay, now what?
You know? He's like, show off.
Well, you know, his dad's got the skills, the experience, whatever, so... let's talk about the artwork a little bit.
It's really clean and real, it's kind of...
The artist is Corey Walker.
It's got that, I don't want to say classic look, but...
It
reminds
it is,
me of, like, the faces kind of remind me of, like, I don't know how to put it.
Oh, uh-huh, good call.
Sorry. Put me on the spot here. I do like the art.
There are certain parts of it that are very angular. He uses a lot
the
of...
The colors are really sharp contrast. In
okay.
The colors, you know. So the images are meant to pop, you know.
Right. It, like a traditional superhero comic.
Right.
Whereas The Walking
That's
Dead
I mean.
Is black
it's
and white.
Very classic, you know. It's not a lot of gray area there.
But Corey Walker...
He's got a lot of angular stuff going on, almost like a Mike Mignola in some places. But it is much more traditional than Mike Mignola, you know, goes out. More like a Dave Johnson, maybe, I guess you could say, a little bit.
He uses more of, like, the color change, the darkness of colors to do most of his shadow work.
Right.
As opposed to, like...
He draws a clean silhouette,
right.
And then the colorist is actually going in and adding the shading with the color.
Right.
Instead of him drawing it in, yeah. There's also a lot of times where he'll do neat little stylized panels where it's just the outline of the person, like if there's an explosion going on or something.
Which I thought was really interesting that, you know, this is one of the first books that we're reviewing on Comixology because it goes panel to panel. Like, it really popped.
Mm. Because we're not looking at the whole page all the time.
Yeah, I felt like these four issues, I flew through them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a real easy read.
Especially when you're going panel to panel. It's like,
well, it's
bam,
also,
bam,
it's,
bam, bam.
It's very straightforward.
Yeah.
It's very enjoyable because it is laid back and easy and fun. Oh, and here's another joke. The mall. The mall is Twin Pines Mall. That's the mall from Back to the Future.
Back to the Future, yeah. Nice.
So there's another joke that they threw in there.
I wonder how much of that carries on when it actually, because...
Oh, and then in the mall, walking around, there's a little bald kid wearing a Charlie Brown t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. Wow, you always pick up on that stuff. That's why you're here.
Oh, yeah, I pay attention to what I'm reading. How weird.
Wow, they only rated this a 3.
Who did?
On Comixology.
Bastards.
I mean, overall... But yeah, it's only $6.99 for Volume 2. Buying this scanned, or I mean not scanned,
digital.
Digital. Yes, you should. I recommend it. If you can find the trade, get it. I'm sure it's only, what, like $14.99 or something?
Actually, I don't know. Is this going to show me the price?
In a nutshell, the whole story in these four issues ends up with... His dad's gone fighting aliens in an arena to try to win his way back. The super team helps him on Earth come back. He comes back.
Oh, yeah, because the dad's gone for like
the dad
a week
figures
or
out
something
really quickly
or something.
That his son has powers too.
Right,
right,
well,
before he.
Leaves. Yeah, but there's this whole storyline where the dad disappears, and so the kid feels bad because he's got powers or whatever. And then, like, you know, a week later or whatever, his dad comes home. And they're like, oh, where have you been? He's like, oh, well, I've been gone for 6 months, but apparently time passed differently in this dimension. Oh, okay. Yeah, no
right.
big deal. All right. Well, glad you made it to dinner. Let's eat.
Yeah.
You know? You're living with the superhero. You got to deal with that stuff. Yeah, I think Volume 1 was $6.99. Volume 2 is $6.99. Volume 3 is $8.99. Volume 4 is $9.99. Now, keep in mind, this is buying on Comixology. You buy for $6.99 on Comixology, or you pay $14.99 for the trade. The ones that are $8.99, those are probably $17.99 in paper. $9.99, those are probably $20 in paper. So you're definitely getting a discount by buying it here online. Individual issues, the most current issues are probably the same cover price, and then after a month, I think they drop to $1.99.
Wow.
So if you want to grab...
Actually, yeah, if you go to their...
You buy the trades up to 12, 13, 14. We'll take you up to issue 78. And then after that, you can buy the issues at $1.99 until the current one.
Now, how fast have you noticed from when they post on Wednesday are you able to access them?
DC books come in about 1 in the afternoon, Central Standard Time. All other books are available at... 9 a.m. Central Standard Time.
Wow.
So, DC, for whatever reason, they don't...
On Comixology.
On Comixology.
To read digitally.
If you go Wednesday morning, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, all the Image and Marvel, IDW, Boom Studio stuff will be up. And then, if you come back at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, that's when all the DC stuff is up. And the main... reason, as far as I understand, why DC comes later is because their entire line is day and date digital. Marvel only does select books. They're doing more and more, but right now, not everything Marvel does comes out digitally. For DC, everything they're doing is digital.
Right.
Vertigo stuff, some of them haven't made the jump to digital, but they're working on it. They're
when they hit the next story arc or whatever, they're going to be digital. Everything else from DC, every superhero book they do, every single thing comes through digital. There is just so much stuff that's available that you can find on Comixology. It's just, it's crazy. And most of the stuff, the day it comes out, is full cover price. And then after 30 days, the price drops a dollar. So if you're willing to wait on some books that you're not exactly sure about or whatever, or you want to pick up back issues that you never read before, you can go back and pick them up. They're going to be cheaper than actually going to the store and buying a physical copy. But as far as the stuff the same day, it is the same price because they don't want to undercut your local comic book shop.
Right.
You know, so they want people to go, well, it's the same price. Maybe I'll still pick up paper, you know, on a lot of this stuff. But
and they make it real easy where you can, like, pick to, like, okay, I want the paper copy of this. You know, you buy the digital copy.
If you do want
to. How does that work? Do they just mail it to you, or?
They, I'm not sure exactly. I've never bought a paper copy through them. Maybe I should do that next, just to see what it's like. But yeah, they do.
That'd
have
be interesting if they just mail it straight to you. That would be.
Well, I'm sure you have to buy it. You buy it again. Cool. I mean, you're gonna have to buy it a second time.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not sure. I've never ordered anything through them, so I'm not sure exactly how it works. There's another website. I think it's iFanboy. That is associated with Thing from Another World, which is a store. So if you go to iFanboy and you go to buy a copy, it just sends you to their store, but I'm not sure. Let's see what happens here. If I hit buy and print, zip code.
Oh, they just make you have you pick it up from a store?
Oh, it pulls up... it pulls up the comic locator service.
Oh, where to get it?
So if I buy, well, because right now I put buy and print, I put in 62704, it brings up Killin Enterprises, the Pop Culture Network store. So I put in our zip code and it brought up our store. So if I want to buy it in print, it's just going to show me where the local comic book store is based on my address. So that's cool.
Yeah.
That's actually, okay, that's how that works.
Well, to support our local guys, I prefer it that way.
Yeah, well, yeah. Us local guys prefer it, too. Of course, if you're not in our area, we'll be more than happy to
show you. So what do you think of the overall story of Invincible? I mean,
I definitely want to read Volume 2, I can tell you that much.
Okay.
I mean, I like the character. I think Mark is a good... I mean, he's a good guy, you know? He's not angst-ridden.
No.
He's not... so oh, woe is me, what is my role in the universe? You know, he's very just down-to-earth, humble.
No, I think, and he's like, right off the bat, he's really real accepting as to, like, his circumstances and what's going on, you know?
Well, and, you know, his dad's a superhero, so he's just kind of used to it. There are other superheroes in the world.
Right.
He's not super excited for it. He's no more or less accepting of becoming a superhero as, I think, a kid who gets a driver's license.
Right.
He's excited for it, but he's not overexcited for it. He's right. Not like, oh my gosh, my whole world has changed. It's like, hey, cool. Now it's my turn, you know?
So, but, you know, if your only frame of reference of Kirkman is Walking Dead...
It's a huge departure.
It's completely different.
Yeah.
Don't expect the same anything, really. I mean, it's... Which my hat's off to Kirkman because it just shows his dynamic.
I mean, it's,
you know,
it all
style.
Comes down to, I mean, Walking Dead is not about zombies; it's about
people,
survivors.
Right.
Invincible is not about superheroes; it's about this family. It's about the kid and his dad, you know, and his mom too. But I mean, that's really what it comes down to: is their relationships and their dynamics with each other. More so than...
Well, he does have a little bit of angst with this girl that's also in love with another...
Yeah, but he's
kid.
Not, like, writing poetry to her and painting his fingernails black or anything like that. It's not like The Crow or...
Was that the Telltale Signs?
Yeah, you didn't know?
Oh, okay.
Black fingernail polish, that's how you know.
So the shrine of the picture I have of you with nail polish?
Okay, first of all, that's Photoshop.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't real. All
right, okay.
And second of all...
So you're not really shaped like Buddha, with like a picture of you and an idol and...
Well, I am shaped like Buddha, but that's something else.
But so actually, a couple of wins here on this one.
Mm-hmm.
We both like Invincible. We will probably be reviewing it again, most definitely.
Yeah, we'll probably do Volume
2. Comixology is a lot of fun. Easy to read. I hope they don't change it a lot. That's what, you know, my biggest fear is I'll find something I really like, and then they'll take some feature away.
And they'll do an update that changes everything. now it sucks.
But for now, I think Comixology is definitely the top dog for reading digital comics.
Yeah. Well, because they have everything, so.
Right.
All right.
That's it for that section.
I was going to wrap it up for this segment three.
Slow moving a little bit here, but
people are used to it by now. I know our show goes on forever. So
there's
next?
There's a fast forward button. It just looks like two played buttons next
Don't
to
press
each
it.
Other.
Don't press it.
Yeah.
All right, so what's next?
I don't know. Stuff.
Are we talking about any more comics, or is this it?
Yeah, there's this big, thick hardcover we got here. And it was funny, because Dirt left it in my behind my storm window, and I was at work. So I asked my wife to, make sure it was there in the door. And she's like, when do you have to have this read by? Because I got this, Saturday or Friday?
Yeah,
yeah. This is Fantastic
Friday,
Ultimate Fantastic Four. Issues 1 through 12,
I believe. It's the first two trade paperbacks together in the first hardcover.
It's a
big book.
It is. Writers are co-written by Bendis and Millar. That's what we're going to do next.
All right, guys, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a podcast on PopCultureNetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.popculturenetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to popculturenetwork.com and click on store.
It's actually snowing on your wallpaper. It's a live background?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. There's candy canes on it. Have you ever put candy canes on a Christmas tree?
Not with the kids. Before pre-kids, I did.
But you did before kids?
Yes.
Wow.
Look, there's all my downloads.
See, folks, that's what you learn here on Comaholics, Episode 16, Segment 4. Kids and candy canes. Kids love them. If you want to lure them into your van, just get a Christmas tree. With some candy canes, that's a tip.
Oh, that's a good idea. I think I'll try that next time. What kind of candy canes do you use?
What kind of candy canes do you use?
You like the green ones or the red ones?
They kind of freaking me out a little bit.
I'm glad you're in my basement. We all know.
Oh, crap, I am in your basement.
Welcome back, folks.
All right, so...
We're going to talk about Ultimate Fantastic Four, Volume 1, Issues 1 through 12.
Right. This is the Ultimate Universe, which is the Marvel parallel universe of all their heroes are younger versions of themselves. This is the universe where Peter Parker just died.
Right.
And there's the new Spider-Man out there.
I have never read an Ultimate anything.
Oh, really?
Until this.
The other thing they're doing with the Ultimate Universe is they're pushing it to be more in line with the movies.
Okay.
So now, if you go and pick up an issue of Ultimate Avengers, Captain America looks like Captain America from the movie. Thor looks like Thor from the movie. That's what they're doing with the Ultimate Universe now. It's just making it kind of the movie universe. But this being Ultimate Fantastic Four, this is from several years ago. What's the date? Does it have a date on the inside front page there?
2004, 2005. So it must have been like fall through spring.
Well, it was 12 issues, so.
Yeah.
It's a year. So, because 12 issues, issue a month. 12 months makes it a year, so full year.
Huh?
What? So, the book was apparently Mark Millar would sit down and say, have the characters do this, that, whatever, and then Brian Michael Bendis would actually type it into a script.
Right, which is funny if you read the introduction. Did you read the introduction?
Yeah. We talked about, you did all the work, and all I really did was just say, hey.
Thanks for the paycheck, buddy.
Have these guys do some stuff.
No, actually, I like the candor there in the introduction. You should read that. What did you think of the art?
I thought the artwork was beautiful.
Yes.
I mean, that was...
yes.
Who's... Stuart Immonen, I think, did all the interiors.
You got a lot of people involved here. Immonen is a penciler, so...
Oh, there's Adam Kubert.
Yep.
Stuart Immonen. Immonen.
Oh, I should know this. This is a Greek last name. Eliopoulos.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Letterer.
Yep.
And a lot of people doing different covers.
Yeah.
Cover artwork. Fantastic Four, of course. You've got Mr. Fantastic. You've got the Invisible Woman.
The artwork is in a way that you know... It kind of sets itself apart from the regular Fantastic Four anything.
The regular Marvel Universe?
Yeah.
It feels innocent. You know? It feels clean and pure and whatever else. Unlike, you know, a lot of other books that they try very hard to be gritty and dirty and whatever this is.
Who's the artist that's primarily doing the Avengers right now? The main Avengers.
The one that looks kind of painted right now? I don't know. Is that... That's not Daniel Acuna, is it?
I don't know. But I felt that I felt a little bit of that in here. I don't know.
Hmm. I don't know if I'd go with that, but... Whatever. But,
So the story arcs are a little different in the characters.
Right. Because this is the Ultimate Universe and not the regular universe...
They have a little bit of liberty as far as...
The Fantastic Four, they don't travel into outer space and get hit by cosmic rays in this one. Instead... Reed Richards is working on a device to open a portal to another dimension, and the government is also
working... To find the negative zone.
Right. And the government is working on a project very similar, and so he starts throwing toys into his little portal, and they're coming out in this government installation. So the government brings him in, and he starts working, and it's where they meet Victor Von Doom. It's where he meets Johnny and Sue Storm.
At this, like, kind of... Hogwarts brainiacs, so to speak, that the government has rounded up of preteen teen.
Right, and
children.
I think he even says, you know, this isn't Hogwarts.
Right, end of this book.
Of course, Ben doesn't get to go in to the school because he's the big dumb doofus, but he's the guy who was Reed's friend in school that would look out for him, keep the bullies away, whatever.
Well, and the other thing is, because this is written, like, you know, as recently as 04, you know, a lot of the references, you know, make you feel like these are, like, kids now, you know? Whereas, like, if you were to, like, take it back to, you know, how far back does Fantastic Four go? You know what I'm saying?
63
right.
or something like that? Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of like saying, okay, here's the kids now, in the parlance of these times, right now, this
right.
is where it is. Because there's like there's some like references to
9/11,
yeah, and just like some modern day terminology that you'd only find if the kids were actually teenagers right now,
right?
So, how'd you feel about how each of the kids got their powers and how they presented in the book?
Well, that is very similar to,
and when I say kids, I mean they're basically 17. Is the ultimate evolution leading up to issue 12? Is they're about 17 years old, right? 17,
I guess
18 years
yeah.
old.
But it's the same as the regular Marvel Universe. Mr. Fantastic is considered the power of water.
Mm-hmm.
He's all ripply and stretchy and wavy.
How'd you? But the physiology part.
They put them in a scanner at one point.
Well, they actually like define their physiology a little bit more in the Ultimate. You know, for example, Mr. Fantastic is basically just like a giant water bladder. Like, he has no organs whatsoever.
He just has like a stomach in the middle of it.
Right. I don't even think they found a stomach. It was just like they showed this food passing through him, and it was just he's like the Blob, basically.
Yeah.
And then I also liked Susan Storm, how they showed her like learning how to become invisible, where
the skin disappears and the muscle disappears, and
Unfortunately, the clothes never just disappeared.
No, no.
It was in the
no.
Max title.
And you also find that was funny, like, Johnny Storm in this, like, he could be wearing plain clothes. They don't burn up.
Right.
They stay with him while he's, you know, in Supernova. Either.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the, you know, there's always that relationship between Mr. Fantastic and Ben.
Right.
And I really like how
they were friends.
Yes.
Beforehand.
You know, I think in the regular Fantastic Four, weren't they like college students or something?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly.
I think they were college students.
Well, because Ben, in the regular Fantastic Four, he got to be on the spaceship that went into outer space. So he wasn't a big dummy. Mm-hmm. Like, in this one, he's just, you know, right. he's a friend.
The linebacker.
Right. And it's funny because Ben and Johnny had a relationship in the regular Marvel Universe. They, for whatever reasons, were just friends. Whereas in this universe, they only get along because neither one of them takes things seriously.
Right.
Sue is a giant nerd. Of course, Reed is a giant nerd, so they fall in love with each other. And then Ben and Johnny just happen to accidentally be there when there's an accident with the end zone machine.
Yeah, and there's still... there's still... Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting.
Well, whatever.
There's still that animosity that Ben feels about turning into... you know, a big rock monster.
Yeah, he's pissed.
Yeah.
And he blames Reed for all of it. Of course, you find out later that it was Victor.
Victor screwed up the coordinates to the teleporter.
Right.
That was, you know, meant to send the apple to this.
He thought he could make things better, and instead he made it worse, so. So, but anyway.
I think that the main personalities of the characters is still true. I don't think they really changed their personalities a whole lot. I did like the dynamic of how they introduced Von Doom. You know, this kid that's, you know, was beaten by his father.
Although, wait, he's not Victor Von Doom in this.
No,
one.
he's called
Van Damme.
Van Damme.
He's Van Damme. Then he just takes the name Von Doom. The one thing that I actually thought was
I hope you don't mention it first.
Okay, well, go ahead and say what you were going to say. And we'll see what it's
Don't you think Dr. Doom in this looks a lot like the Goblin, his mask?
Oh, actually, that's not what I was going to say. So,
It was the movie version
of the Green Goblin?
Yes,
it actually
it
does.
It's just like, oh, man, he looks like Green Goblin.
He does kind of.
And he's got the green cloak, you know?
Yeah. Well, but, you know, Dr. Doom always had the green cloak, so...
Right, but Dr. Doom always had kind of more of a
skeleton... Well, and the difference is...
Look...
The old Dr. Doom was a guy in a metal suit.
Right.
Whereas this guy is turning into liquid metal.
He turns into metal, yeah.
Yeah. So he's different than the other Dr. Doom.
But don't you think he looks like Green Goblin?
He does... Yeah, there's a giant picture
of
him.
That's Green Goblin.
Yeah, it does look a lot like... Well, it looks like the Green Goblin mask from the movie.
Right, okay.
Not
and
from the
like
comics.
You said, you know, it's...
No, the thing that I was actually going to say that I found really interesting was the villain, Dr. Doom, in order to create this hideout that skirts the law, he gets a bunch of hippie freeloader stoners to occupy this abandoned area of town.
He builds his own little camp of followers.
Yeah, well, and it's totally the stoners and the hippies.
Let's
and
also not forget Mole Man. Mole Man's in here.
Oh, yeah, Mole Man is in the first
Mole Man is actually one of the professors at the school at the Baxter building where all the kids are sent to.
And he gets kicked out.
And that introduces the Baxter building, by the way.
Right.
It kind of ties in there. Yeah, he gets kicked out.
He goes underground, builds his little mole people, and then after all this stuff happens, he kidnaps Sue because he's in love with her.
Right.
Because, I mean, let's face it, she's all right.
She's pretty smoking in this, yeah.
She's all right. Actually, she looks kind of like your wife.
Ooh. Wow. And
that's kind of... Now it's creepy.
Yeah, it's kind of compliment.
Yeah, I'm going to take
that. All right, okay. Home. She's going to be seeing Storm for Halloween.
So, we know what next year
yeah.
is? So you're going to be the Thing, or... I don't
of
think
course.
You could be Mr. Fantastic.
Johnny Storm.
You could be Johnny, maybe. I could see that. So anyway, there is the Mole Man first.
Then there's
first,
the whole incestuous thing. Never mind, okay.
But that disappears. and really, Doom is the big one that they then go after for the next... I think Mole Man may be the end of like where the first trade ends, and then where the second trade begins. It's all. Although one thing that when the accident happens and everybody's transformed, there's this one panel, and if you just here, I'm gonna like kind of cover this up as I show it to you, but there's Reed at the top, and he's just you know kind of falling through the air. And there's Sue, because she looks mostly the same. And then there's Ben, and you can see he's turning into the rock monster there. So you can see that. There's Victor, right? He's got the metal face appearing. There's Johnny. He's on fire. And then there's Man-Thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, right on the side of that panel. Who's Man-Thing, and where did he go?
Huh. That is definitely Man-Thing.
Because
does he have something to do with like the parallel universe time travel?
I don't know, but it's
does
like,
he exist anywhere else in the Ultimate?
Well,
issues?
Yeah, he's in the regular Marvel universe. I mean, I don't know about the Ultimate universe. I mean, I don't know if he ever reappeared. FF? I don't know.
That is bizarre.
I've got the first four hardcovers. So
how do
this
you always notice that stuff? I didn't even pay attention to that.
But so it's like Reed is water, Sue is air, Ben is earth or rock,
and then metal.
Metal is Doom. Fire is Johnny. So then he's vegetable.
Well, isn't he like the ever? He's always like the ever-present trans-dimensional.
Well, he's kind
being.
Of their version of Swamp Thing.
Yeah, but he's also a teleporter, dimensional traveler.
I don't know. I'm not big on my Man-Thing lore.
Okay, but I don't know.
Just I from, have a Man-Thing.
Just from reading Thunderbolts, that kind of seems like that's where.
Oh, is he in Thunderbolts?
Yeah, he's part of the team.
Oh, Man-Thing is?
Yeah, he helps him travel.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Huh. Well, you stopped reading a while back, so...
Yeah, Thunderbolts was not my book. So,
Do you like the character development, then? You think it's a new change? Something? Do you feel like it's... I guess my question is, do you feel like there's a great difference between this and the regular Marvel Universe? And if so or not, I mean, does it hold any weight?
I think, well, after what has happened with Fantastic Four this past week...
I might just start reading Ultimate.
Yeah, because like I said, I've got the first four hardcovers, so we'll probably be covering...
You have the first four hardcovers of this?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Yeah, I want to read the next one.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's... I do want to say this, though, for the hardcover. If you buy the hardcover, a lot of the artwork in the first... couple issues. There's a lot of two-page spreads. And
yeah,
because
they don't
of the,
split up so well.
Right, in the hardcover, yeah. Because of the way the pages curl, because you've got so many pages in this book, it's kind of hard to follow sometimes because you look... Your eye naturally wants to stop where the gutter is because you've got so much space
right.
in between them in this
hardcover.
It throws
you off.
Yeah, and there are a couple times...
Especially when the panels spread, yeah, like you said, across the both pages.
Well, especially like if it crosses across the top and there's panels at the bottom, your eye naturally stops at the gutter and then goes down to the panels at the bottom, and you have to remind yourself to read all the way across on some of them.
So get your mind out of the gutter.
So like some of this stuff.
Right.
It doesn't stand out.
Yeah, that was
right
difficult.
Away.
It almost needed to be on like a... That Frank Miller Holy Terror, where it's like the extra long pages.
Yeah. But, I mean, having said that, I do like the characters. Like, when I went and saw the Fantastic Four movie...
You were reminded of the Ultimate?
Well, no, I wanted... Like, when I read this, I wanted this to be the movie. The movie that we got several years ago, I didn't think was very good at all. And when I read this book, I go, why didn't they just make this into a movie? You know
right.
what I mean? This being a fresher, younger take on Fantastic Four, I think it's still very true to the characters. It's still very enjoyable. And these characters I do want to keep reading, and I want to see more of. I want to see more of what's
going
on.
Well, you know, in light of how we both feel of the current FF title, I might start picking up some Ultimate now, too.
Well, I mean, we'll read through the hardcovers, you know, over the next couple months here on the show, and then once we get to the end, we'll see.
How many issues are there now? 80 something?
Well, it stopped. It ended, I think.
It's over.
Yeah. it went up to, oh gosh, I want to say, yeah, it might have been the 80s. 60s or 80s, somewhere up in there. And then they canceled it for, because they probably because they relaunched the Ultimate Universe like twice now.
Well, and this first volume, it is a quick read. I mean,
yeah, I read it in an afternoon. I mean, it doesn't take you long. It takes you a couple hours to get through it. So, and like I said, this hardcover is the first two trades. So you buy the trades, it's going to be a nice, easy read. But at the same time, it is such an easy read that you'll read it once and then set it down, and then you can come back to it a couple days later and read it again. You know, right. And there's no harm in reading it a second time.
Well, Bendis and Millar, they haven't continued on with it right after this. This was it for them, right?
I don't know. Hold on, let me see here.
I think it was. And then Millar took over.
Well, I'm pulling up the Wikipedia here. Let's see here. Yeah, Bendis did 1 through 6. Oh, and then Warren Ellis.
Yeah.
But we'll read it anyway. Did 7 through 18. And Mike Carey, Mark Millar came back at 21. Stayed through 32. And then Joe Pekoski did 58 through 60. So it looks like maybe 60 was the last one. In issue 60, the last of the series, followed by a series epilogue called Ultimate Fantastic Four Requiem.
Okay.
So, there you go. 60
issues. So this hardcover, it's $30, but it's worth it.
Well, first of all, let's mention, it's oversized.
Yeah.
So it's bigger than your average comic book. I mean, it's, what, like 3 inches taller?
Right.
An inch and a half wider or something like that. So you're seeing the artwork in a lot more detail than what you actually saw if you picked up the individual issues. So this is going to look bigger and nicer than the artwork of the actual issues. And it is a high quality. I mean, that's thick paper. I mean, when you flip from one page to the other, it is thick, slick, glossy.
You could hurt somebody with this thing if you chucked it across the room.
It's a nice, heavy book to it. So, this is like a premiere edition or something like that. It's got some heft to it. Now, with it being the holiday season, you know, a lot of stores have books on sale, whatever. You can probably find it. If you go to something like a Wizard World or New York Comic Con or C2E2, you can probably pick it up for $10. Something like that. A lot of times people have, you know, the books cheaper. I bought the first four just because they were cheap.
Right.
And I knew I'd read them someday. And they look like nice hardcovers. This was shrink-wrapped until 2 days ago.
Right.
You know, or 4 days ago, whatever it was. So this was just sitting on my shelf, and I knew someday we'd read it and cover it on this show, so I went ahead and bought them. So luckily this was good enough that we want to keep reading the other three, and I'm not throwing all four of these in the trash.
Right.
But artwork's beautiful, story's nice, good characters. I like the relationships that they built between them. You do get, because of this hardcover, there is an introduction by Millar and Bendis having a conversation about how they work together. And then if you get to the back, you actually find Millar's plots, where he says, have the characters do this, have the characters go there, and then you have Bendis's script, where he actually turned it into, you know, page one, panel one, looks like this, page two, panel one, looks like this, you know, so if you've ever wondered how you get from...
Oh, what did you feel about Dr. Doom having, like, the hoof-like legs?
Yeah, well, because he's liquid metal, he can make it into whatever he wants.
But he chose to, like, have these, like, horse legs.
Well, I took that...
Minotaur legs.
He is European, you know.
Right.
I took that as, like, trying to be, like, Pan.
Okay.
Like, he's trying to make himself mythical. So when people see Doom, they don't go, oh, that's a cyborg or that's a robot or whatever. He looks like a creature out of mythology. Yeah. So people would look at him differently and treat him.
Like a liger. You want to look like a liger?
Well, who doesn't? It's probably my favorite.
The powerful
animal.
Mythical beast of all time. So yeah, I had a lot of fun reading that. It was a quick read. I enjoyed it. I'm captured by the characters, so I will definitely look forward to reading volume 2. next time.
So overall, I mean, the stuff we've read, this has been a good show.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we agree that Invincible is great, Deadpool Max is great, and Ultimate Fantastic Four is great. All are worth...
And Comixology is good, too.
And Comixology. They're all worth your time and effort.
So we're either in a really good mood...
Or we're in a rut.
Yeah.
We're like the old couple.
Everything's great. We just got nothing to complain about. It's all good. I'm just happy to be alive. Wake up in the morning.
Weather's nice. Oh. I got to read my comic books today.
What?
I was going to say, I think we got an email from our secret code word.
Oh. I did not get the email.
I think I got one. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Did you lose your information?
Where's my phone?
I don't know. What, I'm supposed to... I'm your phone's keeper
yes.
now?
Yes. That's what the term lackey means.
I don't know where it is, man. What
the hell did I do with my phone?
It's in your pocket.
Are you sitting on it?
Why would I be sitting on it?
I don't know.
Unless you did some kind of magic trick.
Maybe it was in my hand when I was trying to cop a field and sat down. And...
Oh, this is where everything gets strangely uncomfortable.
Or strangely more comfortable.
Sometimes I find that when I'm sitting next to you in the basement, I get strangely uncomfortable.
It gets erotically comfortable.
But then I realize... That I did just drink some scotch.
Crap, what did I do?
In the basement.
Alright, so my phone is...
What? Where could you have possibly gone with your phone?
I haven't left this
See,
room.
This is the detriment of having lots of pockets and places to put things.
Well, and also sitting around drinking beers.
Did you set it under the fajitas?
You mean tortillas? What is wrong with you? Now you're just creepy. Now I don't think I like you as a person. No, it's not in my pockets! Stop beating ow. There, is it your nose?
Oh, this is fun, folks.
Oh, yeah, this is great. Great time.
All right, so, you're supposed to do a shout-out, and you can't find your phone.
All right, well, here's a shout-out to Herfenerberger and...
Herfenerberger.
Thanks for writing in, taking the time. We really value your
Now, you
input.
Have to do a separate podcast all by yourself for 2 hours.
For 2 hours. Oh, yeah, a lot of people are going to tune in for that one.
Just for the shout-out.
Man.
Very disappointed in you, Dirk.
I'm very disappointed in myself.
Can't you pull up your email
on
that thing?
Let me see if I...
God. All right, now I got to kill time.
Tell a story. What's something else you read?
Okay, my Thanksgiving. No. What if something else I read? Oh, okay. Yeah, we can do that. Sure. I mentioned that, Caligula is one that I was reading, which is pretty creepy upon itself. Oh, I started reading Secret Invasion again.
Why?
I really like Secret Invasion. All right, well...
Well, no, go ahead. What did you like about Secret Invasion?
I guess for me, because I am a new fanboy... And when I got into it, it was, after Secret Invasion already happened, when it came out in, 05, 06?
Oh, yeah, because Dark Reign was the big thing when you started.
Dark Reign was a big thing. So for me, it was great background to what was going on that I had just gotten into. It filled in a lot of holes. There were a lot of things going on. I didn't know what was going on. So then when I started reading Secret Invasion, and remember when I first picked it up, I picked up New Avengers Secret Invasion.
Right, you were really confused.
I really, really don't understand.
This story doesn't make a lot of sense.
You're like, what did you pick up? I'm like, New Avengers Secret Invasion. You're like, no, that's not it, dude. That's just New Avengers. So then I picked up actual Secret Invasion. I don't know. I thought it was a cool story. I really liked it. I guess you didn't.
I thought it was okay, but it was one of those things where...
I think it was better than... let's see, Siege.
Well, yeah.
Or most recently, Fear Itself. I mean, of those three...
yeah, Fear itself
of
definitely...
Of those three, I still think Secret Invasion is probably the last really good work that
but
they've done.
Compared to something like Civil War or...
Well, and it came right after Civil War, so in all fairness.
But, I mean, the whole point was Secret Invasion was supposed to kick off, like, this stream of these big hit... Secret Invasion and Dark Reign and Siege and Fear Itself was supposed to be like this big ongoing, you know, massive storylines moving through the Marvel Universe.
You don't think Secret Invasion was a massive storyline? I mean, it all takes place in a day, but...
It just, I don't know, it's like, we're going to herald the return of Nick Fury, and so what's the return of Nick Fury? Suddenly there's Nick Fury with a giant gun going boom.
Yeah.
And that's the return of Nick Fury. You know what I mean? It was just like... It was like a bunch of stuff got set up and then suddenly
right,
it was
well,
resolved.
Keep looking for your thing. Moving along, OMAC. I caught
oh,
up
really?
On OMAC, yeah.
What'd you think of it?
I'm a little confused. Because I don't necessarily understand the background of where OMAC comes from, and I'm still a little confused as far as his evolution and how he's tied into the Eye.
They haven't explained it at all?
I guess they did. I mean, maybe I need to reread it. I don't know.
You shouldn't have to read it twice just to understand it.
I guess so. Wonder Woman? I'm caught up on Wonder Woman.
See, I haven't caught up on that one.
Supergirl?
Yes.
I like Supergirl.
She's pretty.
Yeah.
But I like the... they showed the destruction of Krypton.
Right.
And Argo City.
Mm-hmm.
And her being sent off to go to safety.
The next... side project I have to read is Captain America: Price of What Price of Glory? I haven't read that one yet. The Goon. I'm gonna read The Goon next.
I can't find the email. I don't know whoever sent it to me.
We owe somebody a shout out.
Well, because the problem is they used the code word, and your code word was. Habadubi Kibidua or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually tried to spell that out. And I can't really do a search through my Gmail for Habadubi Kibidua or whatever it was.
No, you keep trying to get it till you get it right, mister.
So now we're just killing time.
Yeah, no. Yeah, well, there was one other one. Oh, Kick-Ass 2. Did you read this
no,
last issue?
No, I'm not.
Then I'm not going to talk about it.
Go ahead, spoil it, I don't care.
No.
Go ahead.
No, because it's really a big spoiler. It's not like, oh, you know, dude got kicked in the face. It's a big spoiler. So
Is Mindy pregnant?
No.
Okay.
Oh, man, you dirty soul.
Well, that would be a spoiler.
It's just disturbing. She's like 13. Anyways, that's all I got.
There's grass on the field.
Ooh. All right. Now we've just we've crossed the realm here. This show is over!
Oh, now it gets to be over? That's all I had to do was make a...
a pregnant Mindy joke.
Joke about a 13-year-old girl. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
Although now I think we're banned in 12 states because I made that joke, but...
Sorry, I'm sure like the last 15 minutes is going to be edited anyways.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, this is great. This is what people want to hear. This is why people tune in, because they go, I don't want the good stuff. I'm going to wait until it's barely even intelligible conversation, and that's what I tune in to listen to.
All right, if you can tell me the town that Luke Skywalker had to go to get his power inverters.
Tashi Station?
Oh, see? That was supposed
for
to be...
power converters!
All right, well...
Actually, I've had Star Wars on my mind lately because I'm beta testing.
Then give them a quiz question that they have to answer.
I'm beta testing the new Old Republic online game.
I'm beta testing you.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, so anyways.
Oh, so that I thought you were asking me. No, you wanted the people to reply with the answer?
Yes.
Oh, so I messed that whole thing up completely.
Did you just send me something on my
phone? No, that was my thing shutting off.
Oh, okay.
Because I have to shut my thing off.
All right, give them... you ruined my question, so now you have to give them a question that they have to answer to see if we'll give them a non-shout-out. because you failed us.
We'll
try not to fail the next shout-out person.
What was the name of the town in Goonies?
Ooh.
Where the people lived in Goonies?
The town that was, like, going under and...
Right, that the families were going to have to move out of because they were foreclosing on their homes and whatever. Yeah. What's the name of that town? Hopefully it exists. Hopefully we can find the answer.
Oh, so you don't even know the answer.
I have no clue.
I'm assuming it's not Goonie Town.
It's not Goonie Town. Although maybe you'll get a Goonie hat.
There's some, like, diehard Goonie fan out there going, oh!
So,
because those are our fans.
We'll do some research.
One diehard Goonie fan.
We'll do some research on Goonies and hopefully find the answer before you do. However, if you think you have the answer, just remember, you can shoot us an email either to apocalypse@comaholics.com or dirt@ineedcomics.com. I don't think I have a Comaholics. I might. I don't know. Just do it at ineedcomics.com and be safe that way. Also, don't forget, you can leave us a voicemail.
Uh-huh.
You can call our voicemail line. It's 24-hour voicemail at area code 217-953-4025.
Yep.
If you know what town the Goonies lived in, you can feel free to call in on there. Maybe we can actually incorporate them into the podcast. Another beer. Time for another drink now that we're going off the air. Also, don't forget to stop by popculturenetwork.com and join the forums.
Yeah, I worked hard. I deserve this beer.
Worked hard for what?
My money. Huh. See back treatment.
Did you work hard for it, honey?
Yeah, what?
And find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, send me a dollar by PayPal, because I love money. And I will,
He'll spend it.
Do you have any words of wisdom? Any last thing that you want to share to the people? You used to say zip it up and zip it in.
Zip it up, zip it out.
Keep it clean, keep it dry, whatever.
Wadate Tibidow.
That's what it was.
It was Wadate Tibidow.
And they typed out Wadate Tibidow. But of course, I don't know how to spell that. So I can't look it up. So, any words of wisdom?
No. My mother touched me there once.
Good night, folks.